is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. Poy, much to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Friday, the end of the week, and welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, good show today. We're less than 2 weeks away from round one of the NFL draft. We'll talk about that. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, is going to join us at the bottom of this hour. Talk about the draft, talk kind of recap free agency. Had an interesting conversation with Bills general manager Brandon Bean the other day. We'll talk with Chris about that. Greg Cosell joins us at 1 o'clock, the executive producer, analyst for NFL matchup on ESPN. We have already solicited some names, people you want to hear Greg Cosell talk about, his expert opinions on some of these draft prospects. And at 2 o'clock, our buddy Lorenzo Alexander, the lowdown with Lorenzo, 2 o'clock this Friday. The lowdown today, dealing with my partner, Donald Jones, on his last day, his last show right now, from now until 3.
Last one.
Yeah, and we're going to let Lorenzo kind of tee off that final hour to get
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. Knowing Lorenzo, he'll have something prepared.
Oh, yes. Yes, there is definitely some preparations made. Donald's last show, Donald's last day. I know it's, people kind of tune in once in a while. We don't anticipate everybody listens every day. Tell us what's going on, where you're headed, what you're doing, why you're leaving the show.
Basically. Why I'm leaving? Headed back home to New Jersey, where it's 80 degrees right now. No, I'm just playing. Headed back home to New Jersey, to the family. You know, I have some things back home that I have to get back to, some family members who are sick that I want to be around, my grandparents who are very, very sick that I want to be around. Just missing home, you know, and I've been up here by myself for the last 2 years, and it's time to get back there.
2 years on the show. It went fast, didn't it?
It did. I mean, I still remember, like, when I first got here, we weren't even over here.
Right.
You were in the little janitor's closet.
Yeah, doing the radio show. Doing the radio show. At night.
And that was when I came in and auditioned. And then I came out to training camp, and next thing you know, I was here full time.
Those were some interesting days. In fact, when you got here, it was training camp, and then we came back here. And what did we call the room? The gray room? What did we call the great gray room where we were doing the show? And, like, basically a conference room. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a radio studio, but it was around the corner over in the administration building. Those are tough shows to do. By the way, technically we weren't all the way set up. And secondarily, I'll tell you right now, and Jay Harris, our producer, mentioned this at a morning a party we had for Donald. Listen to music. We didn't know what we were doing, Donald, I confess.
Yeah.
We had no idea. We were transitioning from the old two-hour nighttime show that was me and guests most of the time to having you in here. It took a while for us to kind of figure out what to do with you and how to get the show going. And you were great at it. You pointed us in the right direction in those first few months.
It did take us some time. We were from that room, the great gray room.
The great gray room
over there. And just looking at Jay Harris as he was like losing his mind trying to get everything together for the show. Yeah. We can't wait to get into the studio. And we got into the studio and it was like just trying to, because first we were just radio, and then we became simulcast on the MSG side as well.
That was October 2nd or something, I think.
Yeah, so we this did, music is killing me.
Yeah,
right
me
now.
Too. We did the show in the Great Gray Room and then over here, but really the whole thing wasn't fired up until October. So there was probably, 5 or 6 weeks when we were totally transitional with the new crew. You know, and fortunately for us, they've all stayed, 6 or 8 guys and ladies and gentlemen who we hired 2 years ago.
There were some ones out there that I thought might leave at certain points.
Were you hoping for anybody in particular?
I wasn't hoping. I just thought, uh-oh, it's been a rough day.
Well, here we are.
Might not last.
2 years later, and you have, as Jay pointed out, our producer about an hour or two ago, you kind of helped point the direction the show was going, and we thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, man, thank you for I still remember when you guys first called me, you and Jay Harris, and I thought it was you and a woman in the background. And, you know, and then got up here, and I met Jay, and I'm like, you're Jay? All right, cool. But, yeah, it's been fun to get this whole simulcast and everything off the ground.
Yeah.
And now you guys are starting a new show up, and It's going to be fun. One Bills Live.
One Bills Live starts a week from next Monday, April 23rd. Steve Tasker will replace Donald Jones as the co-host. Brand new show, a couple of new ideas. One Bills Live coming up on Monday, April 23. And we're going to talk with Donald a lot today about his 2 years here, what we've done, what we've liked, some of your favorite moments. I got a tweet here. A lot of people tweeting in their best wishes for you. Richard Slocum, want to wish Donald the best. I love that he kept everything real and gave a great player perspective. Let's not make today a funeral and make this a celebration for his new opportunities. I agree with you, Richard Slocum. It's not a funeral.
Trust me, we're going to have a normal show.
Yeah, we are going to have a normal show. Here's a good tweet from Epic 27. John Murphy, let me take Donald's spot. Murph, I'll do it for free. That's funny you mentioned that, Epic. You've done this for free for the last 2 years, haven't you?
Yeah.
Did you get paid?
I haven't been paid yet. I'm still waiting on my checks.
Did you get paid for those high school games yet? No, I'm just kidding.
I think so.
But no, it's not going to be a funeral. You're right about that. We are going to celebrate Donald's 2 years here and get ready to move on. Next week, we got a couple of shows. Chris Brown will co-host next week along with Steve Tasker a couple of times. And then we start on the 23rd with the new show, One Bills Live, with Steve Tasker. So you feel comfortable leaving, though? You're good with
this? Oh, I'm good with it. Yeah. I'm good with it. You know, it wasn't like a knee-jerk reaction type of move or anything
that.
It's something that I had been thinking about for some time and made the decision a while back.
You know what, people? I think people get the sense of this if they listen or if they watch. The show is pretty spontaneous, and you have had moments with Lorenzo or Reuben Brown or even Browning and Steve Tasker. Mm-hmm. Stuff happens sometimes on the show that no one can quite figure out, including us.
I mean, especially if you're riding around in the car. You don't even know what's happening on set right now, and there's been some crazy stuff, especially with Lorenzo and Reuben. Those two guys alone, especially Reuben, though. Reuben has done some crazy things with, you know, when you were on the road and I'm hosting a show with Reuben, and he drops his IFB pack, you know, and we're on TV, and he just disappears off set to get his IFB pack. It's just crazy stuff. You're like, Reuben, what are you doing right now, man? It's been fun. It's been funny. Great times with Lorenzo, the lowdown segment. I know he's going to bring it today, but every Friday during the season, you know, I know we're going to argue and go back and forth.
Yeah.
And then in this offseason, it's been fun too because we've been getting him for sometimes, you know, 2 hours or something like that, and it's been some fun times.
Lorenzo will be in at 2 o'clock today to talk with Donald and talk a little football, and we are going to talk a little football with you. But if you'd like to ring us up and give your wishes, your best wishes for Donald Jones, we'll certainly take those calls as well. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
Now that I'm leaving, y'all should have called the show the Swag Show. That's what Carmelo Angel just said. The Swag Show.
Yeah. I've heard, by the way, let's clarify here. I know people who say swag, and I just challenge people, what do you think it means, swag? Because I think everybody, we talked about this 2 days ago, everybody has a different definition of swag in their mind. Tasker had a different definition than you did.
He had a totally different definition.
So I contend, I have a couple of contentions. One of them is that the NFL should get replay out of the officiating business. Another one is, not the only other one, nobody really knows what swag means, but everybody uses it. And so whenever anybody says swag this, swag that, swag sauce, I want them to tell me exactly what do you mean by that.
Right. But for me, swag is confidence. It's how you go about your day, how you walk around. You know, it's you got a certain swag about you. It's what you want from your quarterback, to have a certain swag about himself, whatever that might be. All whether right. it's Eli Manning has a certain swag about himself, even though he's, like, nerdy. Tom Brady has a different swag about himself. Aaron Rodgers, totally different.
Okay, I will accept that. I just don't think you're going to say the word swag, not you, but anybody, and not be called upon to define it because I'm going to make you define it. What does swag mean? Well, you know, people always say swagger. Well, swagger is a way of walking. Is that what we're talking about? Swag? When you say, oh, he's got a certain swag, our team's got to get our swag back. I'm not talking about you. People say this. Is that what you're thinking, the way they walk? Tell me.
Nah, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Definitely not the way they walk because that wouldn't be good if that's what people are talking about. It's just the team needs to play with a certain confidence level. I just always bring it back to confidence. And, you can have different parts of a season where the team is not playing confident. Like this past season when the Bills lost 3 games in a row, it was like, man, these dudes just look dead out there.
They lost their swag.
They lost their swag. They lost their mojo.
Now you've introduced another word. I get it. I think I know what people mean when they say swag. Not sure about swag sauce. But I just want to make sure. When I hear Steve come in here, Steve Tasker, with an entirely different definition, what's he call? What did he say? Stuff we all get.
Yeah.
He's talking about swag. Like if you go to a golf tournament and they give you T-shirts and shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
Swag. That's swag. Did you get a swag bag? I know what that means too. Stuff we all get. Swag. But he and you have totally different definitions of swag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I maintain that everybody does. And so when somebody says swag this, swag that, I want to know exactly what do you mean by swag.
All right.
Does that make me a bad guy? Does that make me what?
You
stupid?
Should,
does that
ask,
make me dumb?
You should ask
Am
Mark
I
Murphy.
A comedian?
Or
Am
Jack
I funny
Murphy.
To you? As, no, I know. My kids will know what they mean.
Yeah. They might have different definitions.
I challenge them on this stuff too.
I know you do. What about Mayor?
No, she would never. She would not even stop there.
She would.
No, she would say, "What? What did you say? Swag? What's that?
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah,
you guys would both be like, "What's swag? I don't know. What is swag?
And that's not being stupid. Let's be precise about the way we talk. We're on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We should be precise about what we're saying. We should try anyway. Anyway, thanks for letting me get off on that.
Oh, it's all good.
We will always remember your swag. And your swag sauce. We'll take phone calls. If you have comments, questions about anything, the Bills, the Brain Trust reportedly out there in Los Angeles today to work out Sam Darnold in a private workout. What does it mean? We talked about it at length not too long ago. This just came in. Adam Schefter tweeted a minute ago. The Cowboys expected to release wide receiver Dez Bryant today,
Ooh.
Barring an unexpected last-minute change of heart. The plan going into the meeting that is now underway was to part ways with Dez Bryant. I guess not a surprise, right? There have been rumblings about that for months now.
I felt that way when they went out and they signed a couple of receivers. And it was like, uh-oh, Dez Bryant might be out the door. And they gave these guys some money. And so Dez Bryant wants top dollar. Even though he's not, in my opinion, he's not a top dollar receiver anymore. But he's still a guy who you're going to pay, and he wants to be paid. And so, yeah, I just felt like it was going to be the end of the road for Dez Bryant in Dallas. I wonder where he ends up next because
he'll play
now
somewhere,
it's,
right?
Oh yeah, somebody will sign him. Definitely, somebody will sign him. It just I wonder how they look at him. Did he look at him as a number one or a number two now?
There's a team that plays pretty close to here that is probably in the market for wide receivers, the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this somebody who would fit in here, Donald, or is the money going to be prohibitive for the Bills?
I would think the money might be an issue, and the personality. Might be an issue. I mean, he's been a guy that has done some things off the field, number one. He's been a guy that will go off on the sidelines and different things like that. And people have different definitions, whether they feel like he's being passionate on the sideline or whether he feels like he's being a baby on the sideline. We don't know because we're not on the sideline actually listening to what's happening. I had the story of him at the combine when he didn't want to just take a picture.
Right, yeah.
And it was like, Dez, come on, man. You're going to be the number one receiver to get drafted. Just take the picture. It's not that difficult. You can take the picture and then leave.
Yeah.
You know, but he didn't take the picture, and then he stayed and watched the rest of the workout. It's like, this guy right here is just, I don't know. But, you know, I think that's something that Brandon Bean and Coach McDermott probably don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with that stuff. He's a true diva wide receiver coming in here.
There's
if
a lot of them.
To be signed.
Dez Bryant reportedly, according to Adam Schefter, expected to be released by the Cowboys later today, barring an unexpected last-minute change of heart. So we can talk about that. We can talk about the Bills a little bit. They had a free agent visitor in this week that his name is just reported today. Defensive lineman Tenny Palepoi, Palepoi, who spent the last 4 years with the San Diego and Los Angeles Chargers. They signed him as an undrafted free agent from Utah in 2014. Played with Star Lotulelei at University of Utah. 6'1", 298-pounder. We think he's an interior guy, defensive tackle, but some places have him listed as a defensive end. In for a visit earlier this week, Tenny, T-E-N-N-Y, Palepoi, P-A-L-E-P-O-I. It's weird that you have to spell his name, but
yeah.
I had not heard of him until
today. I've never heard of him either, but he's a guy that we know Coach McDermott likes to have guys that are versatile. And for what it sounds like, you have different opinions on what he actually is. Is he a D-tackle? Is he a defensive end? Who knows? They'll put him in a certain position once they get here. If he was to get signed here, they would put him into a certain position. But that means you can use him really all over the field, the fact that he's versatile.
Yeah. 44 games with the Chargers, no starts, 53 tackles, one sack, one fumble recovery. In for a visit today, Tenny Palepoi. a defensive lineman who played the last couple of years with the Chargers. Let's take some phone calls. We'll start with Greg in Hamburg. Go ahead, Greg. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, John. Hey, Donald. First-time caller, and it's actually funny. I love the Bills, but I'm actually calling about something non-Bills related, and it's your argument over the word swag. And I just wanted to let Donald and John know, and you guys know, that it does come from swagger. If you Google swagger, the verb is the actual walking.
Yeah.
The noun is, it says, a confidence or an arrogant approach. So I believe that's exactly what Donald means by swag. And what Steve Tasker means by swag, I agree. Just the word swag is merchandise. But swag for Donald comes from swagger.
Thank you. Thank you for helping us sort that out, Greg. Very, very much. I would just maintain that everybody who used, not everybody, many people who use the word swag have a different thought in their head
probably
of what it means.
I'm getting a lot of different tweets in that I can't even actually say on air.
What are they saying? Tell John Murphy to shut up?
No.
Correct
about,
him?
These are actual people's definitions of swag. I don't know if it's being a smart aleck or if this is what they really think it is, but yeah.
Let's take a few more phone calls here. We'll go to Mark calling from Buffalo. Hi, Mark. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
I'm a listener. Listen to GR all the time. Love your show. Gonna miss you, Donald.
I just wanted
to say, you know, Donald, your insights have been great, what you've given us, and I wish you all the best of your endeavors with your family. I just think you've got a great future ahead of you. And thank you very much. And one thing you'll always be to the fans of Buffalo, a Buffalo Bill. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mark.
Nice. Thanks, Mark.
I'm about to cry. No, man, I'll always be a Buffalo Bill. And I'll always be back around, coming to games, stuff like that. Maybe Murph will invite me up into the booth still.
You're always welcome. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got room for you up there. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah. And you'll be on this show once in a while, right? I think around the draft. I mean, let's face it. We've listened to you, all of us, about the draft for the last 3 months.
So it makes sense.
It makes sense. I want to know what you think when the picks finally come in.
Yeah.
And when the quarterback
and
is
they
finally
do something
selected.
Totally, yeah.
Or
they
not.
Do something totally different than what we all think they're going to do.
Yeah. So we'll get Donald out. He'll be on the air once in a while with us. Let's go to Brad in Rochester. Brad, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, John and Donald. I think Dallas brought in that Alan Hearns, and he was looking for his number 88. So now it looks like he's going to get it if that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Happy. Hopefully they didn't make the jerseys yet. He's going to have to buy them all to get his number 88 back. Donald, you've been great. Hopefully you still come on the air like John just said. But you're going to be great at whatever you do. Good luck, man.
Thank you.
And my question to you guys is this. I read up on Buffalo Rumblings that Baker Mayfield almost has as many pass attempts in his college career as Darnold and Josh Allen combined. And I know a lot of people say that McDermott and Bean like guys with a lot of experience, and the guy obviously has a lot of experience. He's got almost as many attempts as those two guys combined. Do you think that would come into play of them maybe wanting him over those other guys? They have more film and more tape on him, plus his completion percentage. And also I wanted to ask if Mayfield was, say, 6'2", do you think he would be top dog coming out this year?
If Mayfield was 6'2", yeah, he would be top dog.
He would be right there. He'd be right there with Darnold, I think.
He would.
The top.
He would, because he can throw. He and Rosen are the most accurate quarterbacks in this draft. And then, obviously they would still look at the personality and all of that stuff. But if he was 6'2", if he was 6'3", oh, yeah, he'd be top dog. He would be up there with Darnold. And people might want him over Darnold just because of the way he approaches the game, the way he plays with that passion, that chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for your call. Let's take a call here from Clarence in Buffalo. Go ahead, Clarence. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you today? Well, afternoon, rather.
Good.
Donald, I wanted to wish you all your best endeavors in whatever you do. And I just wanted to tell you one day, when you were first started playing, I met your father in the parking lot one day. They were walking.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you remember when you had your wristbands.
Yeah.
Said Donald Jones with your number on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to him for a little while that day, and he was a real gentleman.
Yeah, thank you. I actually still have that wristband on right now. But it's, when you start bringing up my father in the parking lot during the games, it was like, uh-oh. I don't know where you're going with this.
Why?
My father and my uncles are some wild dudes, man. I'm telling you.
Did they ever get in trouble here?
They got me in trouble here.
How?
They brought in a bunch of people. We used to have the family suite, where all of our girlfriends, wives, whoever, kids, could sit in there and watch the game quietly, peacefully. They bring in all of these fans from the parking lot, just people that they randomly met, right? And, you know, they get up to the door and security is there and everybody's like, oh, we're Donald. And security, I guess they didn't even know what to do. So I think they let him in. And then I get this letter on Monday in my locker, like, we need to talk to you about your family in the family suite. And I'm like, come on, man. So I called my father. I'm like, what did y'all do? And he was like, what? We didn't do nothing. I go upstairs. They're like, yeah, they were a little bit too loud, and they brought in a whole crowd of people. They can't do that anymore. I had to tell my father, like, look, y'all not allowed up there anymore. Not even y'all, because y'all don't know how to act. I just can't take you anywhere.
What'd your father say?
He's like, all right.
Well, you were in big trouble.
Oh, no, I wasn't in big trouble, but I don't want to be called upstairs because you guys are coming into the family suite and just acting a fool. Because you guys know that really you're not supposed to bring a bunch of people up there. You know that as my father. You've been up there before.
You get carried away. I can see it.
Oh, yeah.
Come on up. There's free drinks
guys,
up here.
Man,
free food.
They got wings, many people.
Chicken wings, food all over the place.
They had wings. My uncle would cook lobster, shrimp, all types of fish, everything, chicken, jerk chicken. You know, they're from the islands. They're from Jamaica. So, I mean, they're cooking all types of stuff, and it's good. And they just feeding everybody. Never selling stuff, just always handing stuff out. And so they had all these Canadian friends. I go up to Toronto, people are like, hey, man, I remember your dad. I'm like, what is going on here, man?
Hey, speaking of that, and people ask what you're going to do, can you talk about your cousin's business? And you're a little bit involved in the pudding business.
Yeah.
I think people should look for this because you brought it in one day. Your cousin and his wife makes this incredible
banana pudding.
Donald brought it in for us one day. It was the best thing I've ever tasted. It's ridiculous. And now you're kind of retailing that, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah. Plan. So the name of the company is Kinesis, and it's a banana pudding company, and it started out
Kinesus.
It's Kinesis, Kinesis. And you can look at it on social media, look at it online.
What's her name from?
That's my cousin's wife. That's her name.
Kinesis, okay.
Yeah, Kinesis. And so she one day made some banana pudding for the family, and my cousin just has a hustler mentality. He was like, we could sell this.
We could
sell this stuff. And they next thing you know, she started putting all different fruits and stuff, and now they have like 16 different flavors of banana pudding. And so we're in malls all down in New Jersey, different stores in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York City. And we're actually doing a pop-up in the Galleria Mall here in Buffalo Father's Day weekend.
Okay.
And, you know, we're trying to raise some money. We're working right now with a couple of different hospitals. We'll end up partnering with one. But we want to just donate money to the hospital from the proceeds that we actually make from selling the pudding that weekend. So it's Father's Day weekend that we'll be in the Walden Galleria Mall.
Okay.
And we'll have a cart in there. And then we're looking at actually having a cart full-time in there. But if you look at the social media on Kinesis, I mean, they're all over everywhere. Sirius XM, they're up there. He just closed a deal with Google down in New Jersey where they're picking it up. I mean, it's crazy.
It is amazing pudding. Yeah. Let's take a call from Tom in West Seneca. Hi, Tom. Go ahead. You're on the air.
John, Don, thanks so much for having me.
Sure.
First, I want to wish you best luck. And like I said yesterday, whatever you endeavor to do, I think that your show is fantastic. You and John together, you make the show. You make it seem like football season never ended. And just like the way you guys work together.
Thanks.
And now getting back to that word swag, you know, I look at it as the way a guy carries himself with an air of confidence, but not cockiness, if you will, but not arrogance.
Because
that would be much too vulgar a term to use for somebody who has it all together. And about Baker Mayfield. I'll get it right today. Baker Mayfield, that's my guy. I hope it all works out. And this 2 weeks is dragging, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. I know. I'm looking forward to the draft.
2 weeks, man. We've been dragging for us since the end of the season.
Yeah. We kind of put it off for a while, right?
I mean, we tried to, as long as we could.
couple of weeks. We got to the Senior Bowl and was like, okay, we got to start talking about these quarterbacks.
Right, because then we knew we had the combine coming up.
Yeah.
And so we had to. And once we got to that point, it was quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Quarterback, 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 wide receiver, quarterback, quarterback, quarterback.
We'll get through some of those prospects with Greg Cosell coming up at 1 o'clock today. Donald's last day is here today. Lorenzo Alexander joins us at 2. You're right. I was just looking on Twitter. We got about 50 different definitions of swag.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. I understand. And I'm not stupid. New Age Democrat tweets in, it doesn't make you dumb, Murph.
Oh, Lord.
But it does make you unbelievably white. What? I'm white. I can't help it. I can't help it. I'm not dumb. I know what people mean when they say swag, but everybody means something different. That's what I'm saying. Do you see any part of that?
No, listen. I think everybody does have a different definition of it. And truly have a different definition of it. I mean, I got this one tweet in, and the guy's like, yeah, I'm serious about that. You know, and he's like, swag meant cheap marijuana in school.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Okay. See, it means something different to everybody.
Right.
Here's one. This might be the all-time tweet to our show. And, after 2 years, I think you feel the same way about Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this one? There's a tweet out there of a picture of you and I that say, Donald's riding off into the sunset, last show today. Mike Tadonio tweets in, now the show is going to suck. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for listening. That's what we need. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. A break here. Chris Brown standing by to join us when we return. It is the John Murphy Show with Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com in studio with us. Chris, it's Donald's last show. I don't know if you've heard. But you know what he said?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. One of his favorite days came last summer at training camp. And I think it was the day the Bills signed Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
And you went off on a rant that forced me to calm you down. I think I said one of the 7 words you can't say on TV and radio.
Mm-hmm. I think you also called me over-caffeinated.
Yes. Well, that happens
a lot. That's permissible.
Yeah. Do you remember that day? You were going off.
I remember it.
I don't know. We were arguing about
how much they're going to use him on the field. And you were of the opinion that, you know, they should use him in spots. And I'm like, this guy played 83% of the snaps last year for Detroit. Get him on the field.
We were both wrong, as it turns out.
Yeah. We were all wrong.
You were so worked up that I used a bad word. And I want to apologize, Chris.
You want to use it again?
No. Well, yeah, but
I've heard worse. Look, I heard worse on the school bus in third grade. So
I said to Murph this morning, I'm like, I need you to drop this word, this word. It's my last show. Drop this one, too.
If anyone should, it should be you, because you're not going to be on the air, so the FCC can't do anything.
Yeah. What about that? Hey, Chris, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. A couple of interesting posts that you've written on Bills.com. Free agent additions give Bills flexibility in the draft. Chris sat down with Brandon Mean, the GM, and talked about what they did in free agency, and now we move towards the draft a couple of weeks away. And it looks like Brandon Bean, in general, feels like they filled some holes with their free agent additions.
Yeah, I would say the defensive front is probably where they've done the most extensive job in eliminating a position group in terms of having a sense of urgency, like, you know, this is something we should probably fill here in the first 2 days of the draft. You know, I think defensive tackle is probably off the board in terms of finding an immediate starter because you signed star Lotulelei, and then you've got Trent Murphy, you know, in the fold at defensive end where you obviously needed some help, you know, with Shaq Lawson and Jerry Hughes. Those were really the only two players you had of any proven ilk. So adding him, I think, alleviates the urgency there at that position. So from a defensive line standpoint, and the good news here is defensive tackle is deep this year. So even if you wait until even the early stages of day three, I still think you can get a quality player maybe for depth to develop and grow at the defensive tackle position, you know, where their numbers were very light, you know, until they signed Starr and, you know, looked at Murphy. And Murphy's a guy who also on passing downs can kick inside to defensive tackle. So, you know, from a pass rush perspective, when Starr probably comes off the field, I think you can kick Murphy in there and put Lawson outside. And then, your upfield pass rush is significantly improved.
The other thing I wanted to get to, because it's on the opposite side of the line, and I've never heard Brandon Bean say this, at least in the last couple of months, it appears that he's pretty serious about adding some offensive linemen in the draft. You know, the quote he gave you, right. We need some young players to still come in here and build some young depth in their offensive line because some of these guys are going into the last year of the contracts. That's an area we continue to look at. It sounds as if Brandon Mean is forecasting they're going to draft some O-linemen come up in a couple of weeks.
And I don't think that's any great surprise. The whole way I posed the question from the outset was, yes, you've added Russell Bodine, you've added Marshall Newhouse, two veteran players in this league with a lot of starts under their belt, which are certainly nice additions to have. But at the same time, the additions don't measure up to the subtractions because – and granted, he was a reserve player, but Shontrell Henderson's in Houston now, signing a one-year deal down there. Eric Woods, unexpected exit from the game due to a career-ending neck injury. And now you have Incognito as well. So, while national media is panicking because they don't recognize or didn't do their homework and realize what Deion Dawkins was able to do, at left tackle, I don't think it's the sky is falling type of scenario. Oh, and Cordy Glenn's a subtraction as well via trade.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all of those subtractions, only two additions. And then I thought the point that Brandon Bean made was a good one. You've got Ryan Groy in the last year of his contract. You've got Jordan Mills in the last year of his contract. Those are two potential starters on the field this year. So you roll all that together and you say, you need an influx of youth here, and pretty badly. So, I anticipate that, yes, they will – at an offensive lineman somewhere. I think the reason it's hard to predict where and when is because we don't know what assets they could potentially be giving up in a trade-up scenario. If they don't have any firsts left, or maybe they lose one of their twos, whatever the case might be, I think it's hard to predict where. But again, I think they were smart here because, again, interior offensive line is a position that's very deep this year. There are guards with draftable grades that go 15 deep in this year's draft, and that's not often the case. If it gets to 9 or 10, it's considered a decent year for interior linemen. It goes 15 deep this year at the guard position, and I think that's uncommonly good for that position, at least in comparison to most drafts of years past.
So that means you can – we talked about this yesterday. You can draft the guard 4th, 5th round if you want to and probably get a serviceable guard.
And it's probably not someone that's going to necessarily start as a rookie, but with a year of development under Juan Castillo, I think – they believe there's enough talent available where, let's groom this guy for a year, and then maybe next year he's challenging for a starting role in 2019. So if you can get that in the 5th round, you're doing pretty good.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, in studio with us for a couple of minutes. You can ring us up with your questions for Chris, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. When you talk about offensive line, obviously – Richie Incognito's surprise announcement that he's retiring. I think it's almost one of those things, Chris, where they knew they'd have to replace Richie, and this probably just comes a little bit sooner than they thought. They're not totally bereft of talent there, though, even on the roster right now.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing with Richie and Eric Wood, though. Eric Wood, even though he got the extension, at some point soon here, you knew you would have to replace
him.
Next year or two.
I think the clock was ticking even more so, though, on Richie's career. I mean, turning 35, yes, he's still playing at a Pro Bowl level. I think the other thing to consider here, too, is how might the scheme that Brian Daboll is bringing in fit Richie Incognito's skills? Because the best thing that he does is pull as a guard. Are they going to be doing a lot of that this year? I don't know. Nobody knows.
So, Richie might know. Been previewed.
So, I think there's a lot that got rolled into what ultimately happened here. And maybe Richie didn't see a fit for himself. Maybe he wasn't all that excited about playing without Eric Wood. I mean, those guys are pretty tight. I believe they have the same agent. So, I think it was a situation where he said, I have a lot of fun the last couple of years playing alongside Eric. That's not in the cards anymore. Mm-hmm. How is this going to play out? We got a new offensive scheme. Do I really want to go through the trouble of that? And so I think, when it came down to it, maybe he just said, I don't know if I want to gear up for another season and learn a new offense, find out that the blocking scheme doesn't fit me. I mean, he was pretty outspoken last year when, the zone blocking scheme was trying to be introduced here under Dennison. And, he was pretty vocal about it not fitting what he felt the group of linemen did best. And then eventually they gravitated more towards what made them so successful as a rushing offense the previous 2 years.
Yeah.
You wonder if what he had heard or got wind of, or in doing some reconnaissance with other players in the league who had played under Dable or Dable-like systems, what he could expect and maybe didn't like what he heard.
You know, for me, it's hard to believe that they would actually do an extension knowing that he's not going to fit the system that they're going to run in the future or this year.
I don't think his long-term future here was going beyond this year anyway, to be quite frank. I think, yes, he had a good season again last year. I'm not going to dismiss that for a second. He played well. But he's the facts are the facts. He was 35 years old. I'm not saying they were expecting a decline, but even for an offensive lineman playing guard, that's an advanced age in this league.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see him on this roster in 2019. I'll put it to you that way. No matter how well
he
may have played this coming season, I think it was turn the page time for what this team and this front office is trying to build here. They're trying to plug as many of their positions with long-term answers as possible. And I'm not trying to discredit Richie or dismiss his talents as a player. I just think it's the turnover part of the process that we're witnessing here with each passing year. And I think while his talents and his abilities were certainly appreciated by the coaching staff and the front office in 2017, and while they may have been accepted here in 2018 if the right circumstances presented themselves, money being the chief qualifier in that, I'm not convinced that he was seen as a guy that was going to still be on this roster after his contract ran out in 2018 here.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. His latest post on the website, free agent additions give Bills flexibility in the draft. He talked with Brandon Mean about it. We can talk with you about it. Phone lines open 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Brandon Mean quoted us saying, we're good here. It sounds like he seems fairly confident they plugged some holes before they hit the draft. Does he feel that way about linebacker, do you think, Chris? Isn't that the one area where they really need to get some
bodies? He wasn't going to name positions specifically.
Yeah.
He said, we don't have many glaring holes left.
But isn't linebacker a glaring hole?
He said, we have a couple.
Okay.
But then he wouldn't identify, because I think most people can. I mean, anybody, you look at the depth chart, and I think very quickly you can see that there are holes at linebacker and at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think those are the two that he was probably, you know, indirectly referring to without saying them specifically. So, you know, I think he feels, why am I going to put that out there in my own words when everybody else can figure out what it is? Why validate it? But I think it's clear, you know, that middle linebacker is a position that has to be filled with a bona fide player that can contribute right away.
Rookie or veteran.
And I think the same goes at wide receiver. Now, unfortunately, those are two positions that aren't very deep in this year's class, especially from the standpoint at receiver of a true guy, a true number one wide receiver. Those are in scant supply this year. You don't even have a lot of stretch-the-field speed receivers, which is something that I think, you know, this wide receiver contingent needs maybe more than anything else. And you look at the landscape of what is coming out of college now at the receiver position, and Donald, I know you can probably speak to this better than I can, but route running precision, guys that know the route tree, guys that don't run a curl. I mean, there are guys that haven't run a curl in college that are coming into the NFL draft. I mean, they'll break it off and run across the field, which, you know, is not the way they teach it in the NFL, because that corner is undercutting that route then. The reason you run a curl in the first place is to come back at a 45-degree angle so the quarterback can hit you without a threat of a DB breaking up the pass. And you watch some of these kids in college run what they consider a curl. It's not a curl. And so there's this learning curve that I think might be steeper than it has ever been for wide receivers. And so what does that mean? Well, that means expecting a receiver to come in and make an immediate impact as a rookie in this league outside of running some go routes and stretching the field is maybe more limited than it has ever been. And I think that's why potentially you could see receiver replacing running back for that position that is going to get pushed down the board more than ever.
Really?
I think so, because
this year's draft or just moving forward?
Well, this year's draft and potentially moving forward, because if we keep going on this current track that receivers in college are on, mm-hmm. which is not learning a route tree, not learning how to read coverage,
right.
because everybody talks about the quarterbacks looking to the sideline for the play based on the coverage that the coach sees
receivers
and gets
too.
The play. Watch receivers on Saturdays now. Mm-hmm. They're looking at the sideline too. Not to look at that play. They're looking at their receivers coach
yeah.
to tell them what to run.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I mean, it's the dumbing down of the football player because the coaches are making the calls. And I get it. Coaches are just worried about winning. And who are the coaches going to trust? The 19-year-old kid on the field to read the coverage or them?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to trust themselves. So I understand why it's done that way. But you want to talk about screwing over a kid and not helping him learn the game. That's what you're doing. So now the burden is on pro coaches to teach these guys stuff mm-hmm. they should have learned when they were 19 and 20, not 22, 23, and 24. And so it's not going to surprise me in the least if NFL GMs going forward either A, put higher value on receivers who are in pro systems and are counted upon to read coverages on their own and run real route trees over players who might be more talented but are going to take 3 years to get up to speed.
Yeah.
Coaches and GMs don't have that kind of time
right.
in this league. We see 6-7 coaches get turned over every year in this league. Do you think they're going to want to wait on a receiver that's going to take 3 years? I mean, the Eric Molds, who took 3 years before they blossomed into a Pro Bowl caliber performer, they're not waiting on guys like that anymore. They're just not. That's why Cooper Kupp was a second-round pick last year for the Rams. He was one of the best route-running receivers in the draft class last year. He's 190 pounds soaking wet. He runs a 4.6 on a good day, but he gets open, and he knows
like
the route
this,
tree. So there
like
you are.
This, like
that's
this,
where it's going.
That's
where I think
it's
going.
This is what we needed from you today, Chris. When you look at the receivers in college, they're running all go routes and bubbles. They're running a lot of screen routes. They're athletic, so they're fast. They can catch that ball and take it to the house. But, you know, like Chris is saying, you're not seeing – the comebacks and the curls and the precise route running. And you see guys get to this level and they'll run a comeback and just totally stop. And what happens? The DB runs right through them and it's a pick six going the other way because these guys just haven't learned how to run routes at this level.
We keep going this way. We've talked about how running backs are undervalued. You can get one in the fourth or fifth round. I think receiver could be going that way if colleges continue to fail to prepare receivers for the NFL.
Still the sexiest.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Yeah. You got a call on the line about receivers. Shane in Rochester. Shane, go ahead. You're on the air.
How are you guys today?
Good.
I saw that Dez Bryant was released by the Cowboys, and I've always been a Cowboys fan growing up, but the Bills have always been my number two. And I know that the Bills are in need of a receiver, and yes, I don't see Dez Bryant as a true number one receiver anymore. But he would be able to bring a lot of experience, leadership, and I was reading that he was training with what people are calling the route guru.
Mm. You see any likelihood of Dez Bryant to Buffalo, Chris, given the Bills' need for a receiver?
Well, they certainly need a true number one, and I think he could be a true number one here in a second. Yeah, I think he could. I think with Benjamin on the other side, I think it vaults his value into number one territory, even at 29 years old and with an injury history. But therein also lies the problem. And the second issue is, what kind of money is this guy going to want to command? The Bills have $45 million in dead money on their cap right now for 2018. If it was 2019 offseason, I think it's far more likely.
They
their cap
sense,
situation's far more favorable. Maybe they can sign a guy like Dez Bryant on a two-year deal, you know, with decent money for him that pays fair market value. You know, I can't see him at 29 years old wanting to push money towards the back of a contract when he can go somewhere and perhaps get money in year one, knowing he, no matter what kind of contract he signs, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, that he could be gone after a year. I mean, he could be if it's structured the right way by the team. So, you know, I'd be interested to see, is it worth a phone call? Yeah, but I don't know if it's going to get to a place where it's going to be palatable for the Bills. We have to look at what the type of players the Bills are signing right now. They're signing players to veteran minimum contracts, mm-hmm. because their cap situation is still not fixed. Brandon Bean is doing an excellent job of getting there, but it's not going to be realized until 2019. You can always find a way, I suppose, to do something, but this doesn't strike me as a deal that makes sense to help your wide receiving core short term.
Yeah, and for me, it's no matter who's the quarterback, you're going to have an inexperienced quarterback. A.J. McCarron could be that guy, and he could handle it, but Dez Bryant is a guy who, if he's not getting the ball, he's going to say something about it. And if you have a rookie quarterback coming in, Dez Bryant really is the last person that you want to deal
right.
with. I just don't think he's a locker room fit. The things that you see from him on the sidelines, I don't think Coach McDermott wants to deal with that at all.
Chris, we've gone this far and haven't asked you about quarterbacks yet. We have to ask you the mandatory quarterback question, so we'll take a break and do that. Chris Brown is with us with Donald and I, coming to you live from One Bills Drive. It is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy, Donald Jones. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, is with us for a couple of more minutes. Written a couple of really good pieces. We talked about free agency as the Bills kind of move on to the draft. And they do have work to do on the draft, including the visit today, Chris, reportedly. What do you make of the visit to Southern California for the private workout, I should say, with Sam Darnold today? What does that mean to you?
It means they want more one-on-one time. I think there are, and people will say, well, how do you not know by now? And sometimes it's due to scheduling conflicts. I mean, obviously, Sam Darnold is a guy that's in high demand during the pre-draft period. He's been crisscrossing the country. And sometimes between your own schedule as a team and everybody you've built into your visit schedule already and the schedule of said player, you just haven't been able to get together at the same time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it does take until the last week before the draft to finally get that final meeting in. This weekend, for example, I mean, you want to talk about how much stuff happens in the 11th hour? This weekend in Indianapolis is the medical rechecks. So all the teams will be flying
from the combine
their physicians and, you know, necessary personnel people to Indianapolis to get the combine rechecks on all guys that either A, couldn't compete at the combine, were rehabbing from an injury from a bowl game and haven't done anything through the pre-draft. What's their prognosis? When are they going to be ready? Are they 100% healthy? Where are they? All of that stuff. I mean, everybody talks about the medical at the combine. This is the medical reach. It's this weekend. So things happen right up until draft week, and visits and private workouts are no different.
Mason Rudolph in that boat?
In what boat?
Because he was hurt at the Senior Bowl.
He threw at the combine. I think the only thing he did not do was either the vertical leap or the shuttle because it was too much torque on his foot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he did everything else at the combine, if memory serves. And he threw. I'm pretty sure he threw there. So, I think he's fine. I don't think he's in that boat.
I would think, though, what was his name? Hurts from Michigan?
Oh,
the defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Maurice Hurst. He worked out at his own pro day.
But then he got something with his heart.
He got medical clearance in March. And so then he worked out at his pro day. So he's been medically cleared already by a host of doctors. I think he got a second and third opinion because, you know, anytime you have one doctor give an opinion, the NFL's like, it's one doctor. He's, you know, your doctor. What's he going to say? So he got a second opinion and a third opinion on top of that, and they kind of cleared him.
Chris, when you talked with Brandon Bean in the post that you put up on BuffaloBills.com, he didn't have to admit it. He said, I still got, two or three guys I still need more information on. They're still working this couple weeks before the draft.
And that's for him personally.
Yeah.
I think he certainly respects all the work that his college scouting staff does, and I think he implicitly trusts a lot of their opinions, but I think he, in his own way, wants to formulate his own opinion because he's ultimately the guy that's pulling the name off the board. So I think if he has the time and the schedule works where he can get in front of these guys and be face-to-face and make his own assertions, he's going to do it. And really, that's what he should do. That's his job as general manager, to have the courage of his convictions to make what are going to be some pretty important decisions for this franchise in just over 2 weeks' time or under 2 weeks' time.
What is the likelihood they make the big move up to get a quarterback in the top 5 to 10? What do you think?
I think it's pretty likely.
Yeah.
I should say this. they're going to try their darndest to do it. Because what have you been working on the whole last year? You've accumulated all of this draft capital for this express purpose. You know, you're not going to stop now. You're going to try your darndest to get up there. Now, as we always say, you need a second party who's willing to move out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got a question on Twitter today during my Fan Friday interaction with fans every week, and somebody asked, well, why haven't they just made the trade up already? what are they waiting for?
I mean,
well, the problem is twofold. Number one, a lot of times, even if you are the team that wants to get up there, very often you want to see how the board unfolds first to even know if the guy or guys you want
will be
are going to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, why are you going to part with all these draft assets if your guy's not even there? And I think that's part of the reason why the Giants haven't moved out at two. I think the Giants are going to wait until draft day they move out at two, because I think if Josh Allen is the first pick, I think the Giants stay there and they're going to take Darnold.
For the life of me, I can't figure out any incentive for the Giants not to wait until draft night to make this deal, right?
Right. Why because the price goes up.
It goes up.
The demand goes up. So, yeah. I mean, Gettleman, he's in the catbird seat. He can just hang out because he's in a win-win position, as I see it. He either gets what he's probably going to feel is the best non-quarterback in the draft if he doesn't go quarterback. Mm-hmm. And if the Browns take Josh Allen first, he gets the quarterback that everybody under the sun believes that the Giants want in Sam Darnold.
You know, you get those phone calls and you're like, oh, I don't feel like taking this call because I'm not moving out of this spot yet.
Yeah.
We can wait until draft night, but he's getting calls like, oh, 716, I don't feel like taking it.
Chris, what do you got coming up over the weekend on the website? You mentioned something at the meeting today, and I made a mental note. Oh, I'd read that. What do you got? Something's coming up.
We're just previewing the start of the off-season conditioning program.
Okay,
players are back here on Monday, so we're kind of laying out everything that's going to unfold there. You know, not only the rules of phase one. I think a lot of people feel, oh, conditioning program's coming back. They're going to be on the field and do, well, hold on, you know, pump the brakes. The CBA kind of limits the activities to a great degree, and a football's not even going to be involved. So we kind of lay out what the rules are for phase one of the offseason conditioning program. And, you know, we kind of lay out, you know, what's going to happen here in these first couple of weeks of the offseason conditioning program, just from a standpoint of you got a lot of new faces that are going to be challenging for a lot of new roles, and you've got new coaches here that are going to be implementing either their scheme, Brian Daboll, or the way they coach, you know, defensive side of the ball, John Butler, the new secondary coach. So, you know, that was a very successful group last year, but there's going to be a new way of doing things.
Sure.
Under
I will
coach
read
Butler.
That. Donald won't. Donald's out of here. He will not
read
that.
Best of luck, buddy.
Thank
it was good working with you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. You know, Donald was an interview source of mine when he was a player and was always accommodating, and I always appreciated that, but It was nice to kind of see Donald in a much different light as a colleague. So best of luck to him down in Jersey, man.
Thank you.
Thanks. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Donald and I back in a moment. Greg Cosell is going to join us next half hour to talk about some of the prospects, including some of the ones that you're interested in. That's coming up next, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Bills reportedly interested in Sam Darnold enough that they are sending a team out to Southern California today for a private workout. They continue their look at some of the prospects in the draft and continue to look at free agents. The Bills held a free agent visit this week with former Chargers defensive tackle Tenny Palapoe. He played on the same defensive line in college at Utah with Star Lotulelei. Palapoe, the last four seasons with the Chargers, signed him as an undrafted free agent from Utah in 2014. Dallas Cowboys have released longtime veteran wide receiver Dez Bryant today. Bryant's release comes after a highly anticipated meeting with Cowboys owner Jerry Jones to discuss his contract situation. He's 29 years old. Bryant was due $12.5 million with a $16.5 million cap hit this year, but the Cowboys are moving on from Dez Bryant. Word on Jim Kelly from Dr. Mark Erkin, the head and neck surgeon at Mount Sinai West in New York City. He says the former Bills quarterback continues to make solid progress in his recovery from extensive surgery for his oral cancer. He is out of intensive care, walking on his own a little bit, still several days away, according to the doctor, from resuming swallowing and taking nutrition by mouth. The Cleveland Browns are near an agreement with wide receiver Jarvis Landry, a contract worth at least $15 million per season. Would make Landry one of the top paid receivers in the NFL. Baseball, the Buffalo Bisons homestand, first homestand of the year, continues tonight. First Friday night bash of the season. The Bisons put Chris Rowley on the mound. First pitch 6:05 at the downtown ballpark. Last night, the Bisons dropped their home opener, a 2-1 loss to Indianapolis in the home opener at Coca-Cola Field. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. It is John Murphy and Donald Jones coming up in just a minute. Greg Cosell from NFL matchup on ESPN. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's what you're trying to say.
Yes. But we have a call on the line. It is Ryan in Florida on the line with us. Ryan, go ahead. You're on the air, caller.
Hey, how are you guys? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, wow, Donald, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I think that maybe you're a face for radio, not necessarily TV, but you've done a decent job. And I also wanted to thank you for all those amazing catches you made for me, especially the 68-yarder in 2012 versus New England for the touchdown. But really, Donald, I want to wish you luck, man. I think you've done a great job. And hopefully whatever you do next, I'm assuming in New Jersey, you know, you'll be very successful in just because of who you are and how you attack things.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, you are a clown, man. I swear, you are a clown.
Fitz, good to have you on the line.
Yeah, hey, man, you used to live in Jersey. We should get you back up there, living there.
I know. So are you in Plainfield? Is that?
I'm in Piscataway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so right where Rutgers is. Yeah, man, we got to get you up. Man.
I know, I will. Next time I drop by there, I'll get you.
Sure. That would be.
We got to get you fishing in Tampa now that you're getting away from Buffalo, though.
All right,
plenty of good.
I have no problem with coming down, man, but you got to find space for me at the house. You know, I know you got a whole starting 11.
Donald told us you made him sleep in one of your kids' beds a couple of years ago out in Arizona.
Yeah. I did, but you know what? We still have the same bedroom, so he could come sleep in them again. He knows what they feel like.
It was like Ninja Turtle sheets.
Hey, Fitz, your name came up the other day on the show, too. We saw T.O. Terrell Owens said you threw the nicest passes, the best ball he's ever caught. Did you catch that? Did you see that?
Yeah, somebody sent me that. Man, I don't know. I appreciate it. I felt very good about that. I don't know how well his memory serves him, but maybe we could ask Donald the same thing.
I told him. You threw me a nice ball, man. I turn around, and that ball was just floating in the air, sometimes too long.
Well, that's what I said. It's very catchable. I mean, you can ask any DB in the league. I threw an extremely catchable ball.
You're a fool, man.
Fitz, thanks for checking in. I know, Donald, we're all glad to hear you. Good to hear your voice again. Thank you for chiming in on Donald's last day here.
All right, no problem. Good luck, Donald.
Oh, yeah, thank you, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, later.
That's pretty cool. Fitz
checks in. Yeah, definitely. This guy, he's a clown.
Did you know, how long did it take before you knew who it was?
I had to really listen, because it was awkward if you take a call in front of Greg like that.
Yeah.
And so I had to listen, and I knew his voice. Like, this guy,
First-time caller, long-time listener. Ryan Fitzpatrick checks in for Donald Jones' last day. Also checking in with us right now on the line with us, he is the analyst and executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime producer at NFL Films, Greg Cosell, with his normal Friday visit. Hi, Greg. It's John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
Murph, Donald, I hear it's your last day. Hope everything goes well after this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Greg. I look forward to it. Getting back to Jersey. I hear it's a warm day down there today.
It's beautiful. I've been in my office since 6 o'clock this morning, so what they tell me is it's close to 80 degrees and it's sunny, but I wouldn't know that.
Oh, well, maybe you get outside at some point today. Take a break.
Hey, one of the news items here today involving the Bills, Greg, is that the Bills reportedly have a group out in Southern California working out Sam Darnold today, private workout. What do you think they're looking for? And give us again, I know we've asked you before about Darnold, but your opinion on Darnold and maybe what is most attractive to teams.
Well, my guess is they're looking for a quarterback, Murph. What do you think?
Yeah, but what about Darnold do you think they're looking for? What do you think they're looking at?
Yeah, you know, Darnold's an interesting guy. To me, there's a lot to like, but there's also a lot of things that need to be cleaned up. And then it comes down to coaching and the fact that he's only 20, soon to be 21 years old. So I think with Darnold, you're looking at a guy at this point in time that's not really a disciplined, nuanced player. He's far more of a baller and an outside of structure player, makes a lot of plays like that. He's got good size. I think he's a tantalizing prospect. I think he's an exciting prospect who, if you draft him, you're drafting him based on what you believe he can become under your tutelage rather than what his tape showed in 2017. I thought his 2017 tape at USC was very uneven and erratic, but you can see that the skill set is there.
You know, Greg, when you watch him on film, you're saying there's a lot that need to be cleaned up. Can they really go to a workout with him and feel like maybe he's cleaned this stuff up? I mean, ultimately, they got to get him in their own stadium on a field to clean that stuff up, right? He can't clean that stuff up in a workout because he just has shorts and a T-shirt on.
Yeah, well, and that you, to some degree, Donald, you can clean it up when you're not under duress like that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're sort of out there as a 7-on-7 quarterback, I think a lot of guys can look good. They can look cleaner. The issue becomes what happens when you get into games and the speed of the game dictates certain reactions. Do you then just revert to the way you've played your entire life? So that's the issue with Darnold. I'm sure he'll look good in shorts and a T-shirt because he's a big kid. He throws it pretty good, looks the part. But the key is what happens, you know, when the game starts, because his mechanics need some retooling. He's got a lot of moving parts in his delivery, and that can cause ball placement issues, which he had quite a bit this year in 2017 at USC.
I don't know if we've ever asked you this, Greg, but is there a quarterback among the top tier in this year's draft that you think projects out to have the most the biggest chance of success in the NFL?
Well, again, I'm only dealing with film study. The quarterback that I probably like the most, if I had to pick one, would be Josh Rosen. But I know that he may not be for everyone. I know that people will do their due diligence and dig into these so-called issues, so I can't speak to those. But I like Rosen. But again, you're getting into what you get into with quarterbacks now is the outside of structure plays have become much more common in people's minds than it used to be 10, 15, 20 years ago. So it's where do you fall on that balance? Do you believe a quarterback needs to be, quote unquote, creative? Rosen is not creative. Rosen is much more of a pocket quarterback. But for instance, I like Rosen as a better prospect coming out of UCLA than I liked Goff 2 years ago coming out of Cal.
Now, Greg, what about his flaws on the field? We always talk about him being the prettiest thrower in this year's class, him being the most pro-ready. But what are his flaws on the field? Let's take away his personality, which is what people talk about. But what are his flaws on the field?
Right. I would say that Rosen, every once in a while, his ball placement wasn't as precise as it needed to be for a quarterback that clearly profiles as a pocket quarterback. Those lapses in accuracy need to be cleaned up since that's what his game is built upon. There were times I thought he stayed too focused on his primary receiver in the route concept, and he brought the coverage to the throw. He's an aggressive thrower, and he has a tendency to do that. I think he needs some work on the deep ball. You know, no quarterback comes in this league, Donald, as you know, as a finished product. So every quarterback needs work. I mean, he had a tendency at times to make some reckless and ill-advised throws. But I think these are things that theoretically can be cleaned up. But he is a very refined thrower. There's a refinement to his game more so than any of the other top quarterbacks.
We're on the line with Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer at NFL Films, talking about some of the prospects. The Bills had some rookie draft pick prospects in this week, including a couple of names I want to throw at you and get your thoughts on, Greg. Chad Thomas, defensive end from Miami. Some people think he is like a prototypical 4-3 defensive end. What do you know about him?
Yeah, he looks the part. He's 6'5", 281, has long arms, athletic, can bend. You know, he's a traits player. He's the kind of player that you draft with the expectation that you can really develop him and he can execute those traits on a more consistent basis than he did in college. But he looks the part. He had a sack in the bowl game, I think it was the Orange Bowl against Wisconsin, where it just looked very pretty, looked like an NFL sack. So he, as I said, he's an edge player, but he moved around. He didn't just line up wide. They also lined him up a little bit inside. But I think he's, like I said, he's got the traits and attributes you look for. You'd like to see him be a more consistent, productive player. But those kinds of players do get drafted. They're not first-round picks, but they do get drafted with the belief that you can turn those traits into consistent production.
There's another guy I want to ask you about who I believe is an edge player from Southern Cal. He was in this week visiting with the Bills, and I'm going to butcher his name, Uchenna Nwosu. What do you know about him, and what do you project for him coming out?
Yeah, I watched him pretty carefully. He's an intriguing player because he has the quickness and the twitchy kind of movement to play outside and develop as an edge pass rusher. He also has the size to line up inside as an off-the-ball stacked linebacker, so it depends how you see him. He's done both in his career, so different teams will see him differently. I think a 3-4 team could see him as an outside backer as well or as an inside backer. So, like I said, it's team-specific. I think for him it'll be a little bit of a process learning at the NFL level. He needs some work in terms of his pass rush. He's got speed. He's got twitch. He's got quickness. He doesn't have length. And for teams that like length, he's not a tall guy. So as an edge rusher, he's not a long player. I think he's only about 6'1". And a lot of times he just tried to win with speed, and he just got pushed past the quarterback. He needs more in the way – he needs to be a little more toolsy, as we say, with his pass rush skill set. But he's got the athletic traits that you look for.
Now, I watched a player at the Senior Bowl, this quarterback, Mike White. And for me, he had a really good game. I mean, a solid game. He made some good throws throughout the week in practice. Then he made some good throws in the game. What do you think about Mike White from Western Kentucky? We've had a lot of people ask about him.
Yeah, and I've looked at him pretty carefully. I think he's a good-sized pocket quarterback prospect, has a pretty good feel for the timing and rhythm of the pass game. He's a pocket quarterback. He's got a pocket quarterback mentality. He'll sit in the pocket and throw the football, and I think that's important in the
We lost Greg. We'll have to reconnect with him. Greg, of course, if you're watching on TV, you know we have him on Skype, and if you're listening on radio, you heard his voice drop out. We'll try to reconnect with Greg Cosell from NFL Network, executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup of ESPN, senior producer on NFL Films. What did you like about Mike White, Donald? We had a Twitter question about him, actually, from Mike on Twitter, who said, "I like Mike White." What did you like about him, Donald?
For me, when you watch all of the quarterbacks there, I think he had the most consistent week, and he was a guy that everybody was talking about. And to be honest, I just like the fact that you have these guys that everybody is talking about. And tier two of the quarterbacks, he came out and had one of the best weeks of practice and best games there of any quarterbacks.
Okay, I think we have Greg Cosell back. Greg, can you hear me? Yes, you can.
I can hear you, Murph. Did you lose me?
Yeah, we lost you for a second. Let me take you to another. We had a listener on Twitter call, or Rob Mitchell on Twitter, sent in he'd like to hear you discuss James Washington, wide receiver from Oklahoma State. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, he's an intriguing player as well because – he was really an outstanding vertical receiver at Oklahoma State, and he didn't run real well at the combine. He didn't run with the kind of time that makes you say, wow, he's going to run by NFL corners. So the question is, does his vertical ability at Oklahoma State translate to the NFL? Because he's not really a sudden explosive mover. He's much more measured in his movement. He's kind of a build-up strider. So you wonder, as I said, if that translates. He gains ground as he eats up yards. I wonder if he'll become more like a Pierre Garçon type receiver in the NFL, which nothing wrong with that. Pierre Garçon's had a really good career. But, you know, I'm not sure about James Washington. I struggled with him. And when I say struggled, I don't mean that I didn't think he was any good. I just struggled as to what his role would be in the NFL if he could duplicate and replicate what he did at Oklahoma State.
All right, we're going to stick with the sexiest position in football and go to another receiver. And that, hopefully I say his name right, Equanimeous St. Brown?
Equanimeous St. Brown.
Equanimeous, okay.
Equanimeous St. Brown from Notre Dame.
All right.
Now, he is truly fascinating. He's almost 6'5". He's 215 pounds. He's got size, stride length. He's got the play speed you look for as a vertical dimension. A lot of traits you get excited about, Donald. Yeah, I wouldn't say that his tape always matched those traits, but I think that he's a vertical guy, and every team would like to have a vertical dimension. I think he's a build-up speed guy because of his stride length. I wonder, as I look at him, if he'll ever be what we call a volume receiver, if he'll be the kind of guy that catches 80 or 90 balls. You never know. For those who really like him, and I could see this, you could see some similarities in size and movement traits to someone like A.J. Green. I don't think he's as good as A.J. Green, but I think the style of receiver is like that.
Hey, Greg, what do you mean when you refer to his stride length? What is that?
Stride length. Because length. He's so tall, okay. Those guys eat up ground really quickly. Because, you know, guys like that, they can take four steps and they've gone 12, you know, 15 yards. It's just because they're tall. So their stride length is particularly when they have free access, when they're not pressed, they can get up on off coverage corners really, really quickly, Murph, because their strides are so long.
Gotcha. We have a tweet. We had a tweet from Rick Riballo who wanted you to speak on defensive tackle from Michigan, Maurice Hurst, who had to go home from the combine because of a medical condition, a heart condition, right? He's back. He's healthy now, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. Now, I view him, and again, this is just based on my study, I think he's a classic 4-3-3 technique, meaning he's a one-gap penetrator in a four-man defensive line front. That's what I think Maurice Hurst is. I think he's very, very good at it, but I think if you were to draft him, you're lining him up as a three-technique defensive tackle, which means he lines up just on the outside shoulder of the guard, and he's a penetrator. And I think he could be very good at that, but that's what he is to me.
Now we want to add one to the list, and this is Duke Dawson, the cornerback out of Florida.
Ah, now there's a guy I really, really liked on tape. I think he's a slot corner. He was one of my favorite players to watch on tape. He can play snaps on the outside if needed. But I think that, you know, he's just under 5'11", weighs about 200 pounds. He's not a burner. But I look at a player like Brian Poole with the Falcons, who's been their starting slot corner for 2 years. The Falcons have been a good team. And I think Duke Dawson can be that kind of player, a really solid slot corner. He was very, very efficient when he played press man coverage out of the slot. And for instance, he did an outstanding job when I watched him versus Christian Kirk. So I think that he really fits that role well, and I think that's what he is in the NFL.
Hey, Greg, we were talking about Brandon Bean in our first hour here, and how he has told us and told our group that he is basically just going back and filling in the blanks, a couple of blanks left over. Where are you in your draft prep, and why are you going to work at 6 in the morning just a couple of weeks before? What are you still doing? What are you still working on?
Well, I have a lot of guys I still want to watch. Plus, next week we shoot the two NFL draft matchup shows, which, you know, I produce and both and on-air talent as well. So I'm preparing for those. But there's always more guys to watch, Murph. You know, I try to watch as many as I can, and then I find out some guys that I haven't seen yet, and, you know, I just feel like I'm missing something. So, you know, I just try to get through as many guys as I can.
Greg, you know, everybody here in Buffalo wants to talk about quarterback, and you cut out when you were actually breaking down Mike White's game. So can you just finish breaking down Mike White's game?
Yeah, I think he's the kind of quarterback. I think he's a pocket quarterback. I think he has to play with precision and timing and rhythm, and I think that's his game. The point I was making, I think, when I did cut out is I don't think he's a high-level throwing talent. I think his arm speed is a little bit slow at times. I think his lower body mechanics need work. You know, I think there's some issues with him. I think he needs to be tougher in the pocket. You know, he's one of those guys. In some ways, you could see him like a Kirk Cousins, a guy who could be drafted later in the draft, and over time, you work with him, you develop him, and over time, perhaps could develop into a quality starting quarterback. I don't think he would be there early in his career.
Last thing I have for you, Greg, so much focus, as Donald said, on quarterbacks, maybe especially here in Buffalo. Overall, this draft, is this a little bit less of a talent pool this year over every position than we've had in recent years? Do you see this draft that way, and you look at the big picture?
It's funny, Murph. I don't necessarily think about it in those terms because, to me, each draft is its own separate entity.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of teams, they put round grades on guys. I know I personally, if I was in charge, I wouldn't do that because I think, to me, you want to evaluate the player and then see how he fits on your team, because what are you trying to do? You're trying to make your team better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that you're evaluating players and what kind of player do you want, what fits with your scheme. Because when you start getting involved with coaches, Murph, I'm not talking about scouts now, I'm talking about the coaches, to me it very often becomes adaptability to scheme, because they have schemes and they want players who can do things in their given scheme. So it becomes adaptability to scheme, and I think that's where we stand once the coaches get involved in the process.
Okay, great. Greg, thanks. We'll talk again, I know, before the draft. Thank you very much for joining us here.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Greg Cosell joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway Eat Fresh, talking about some of the other prospects that you have requested that he talk about, and about the quarterbacks, and about Sam Darnold, and about Mike White. Mm-hmm. And before that, what did you think about having Fitz on the line for you there, buddy? That was kind of cool.
It was cool. He's a clown. Let me tell you, Fitz doesn't have any social media. Never had it.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, he's never had social media. But Fitz would come in and be like, oh, yeah, I saw you tweeted such and such. And I'm like, Fitz, I mean, where'd you see that? And he's like, oh, I just Googled it. I'm like, you're just Googling all of our Twitters? What are you doing, man? He's like, yeah, I need to know what you guys are talking about. Like, Fitz, you're an interesting guy.
That was good. Thanks to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Thanks to Greg Cosell for joining us. We're back with more in a moment. I'd like to hear more from you. You can talk about Donald on his last day here, or the Bills picture headed into the draft, the quarterback picture. What do you think? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Our thanks again to our guest, Greg Cosell. We got Lorenzo Alexander coming up at 2 o'clock. Donald, I just got a nice little text here from Chris Parker, Bulldog. His show follows ours.
Mm-hmm.
Please give my best to Donald. I've enjoyed him very much on the show.
Oh, thanks.
Isn't that nice?
Thanks, Bulldog.
This is kind of cool for you, isn't it?
Yeah, we talked about this the other day. It's kind of like that. Nowhere near the same level, but that Kobe Bryant farewell tour, you know, that he went on,
yeah,
and everybody's just like, oh, we wish you the best in your future.
Well, that's cool.
Been like that the last couple of days.
Let's take a couple of phone calls. We'll go to Steve in Ohio. Welcome, Steve. You're on the air. Hello, Steve in Ohio. Go ahead, Steve.
How you doing?
Okay.
Good.
Yes.
Guys?
We yes.
Can. Oh, yeah. All right, well, first thing, Donald, I got to add to your Kobe Bryant tour. I just want to tell you, Donald, I've been watching you for a couple of years, and I think your story off the field is equally as big as it is on the field. So it's really good to see you. I wish you nothing but the best in Jersey. I lived in Jersey for a couple of years, so be careful on 22 and 1-9 there. They're tough roads.
Yeah, those are some tough roads for real. Well, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
sir.
Steve. Thanks for calling. Oh, geez, you had more, Steve. I didn't know. I cut him off. Call back. He had more.
Call back up, Steve.
Sorry about that. Got a call on the line now from Long Island. We've got Ruben from Long Island on the line. Ruben, go ahead. You're on the air.
Buffalo Soldier. Yes, it's the dreadlock rockstar.
It's Ruben Brown on the line from Long Island.
Hello, guys.
Hey,
John,
Ruben.
How are you doing?
We're good, man.
Donald,
how you doing?
I'm all good. I figured I'd call you on, is this coming to the end of the Donald Jones experience for Buffalo?
Well, it's not the end of the Donald Jones experience. We're going to keep that one going, but it's the end of the road for this show, the John Murphy Show, which will now be One Bills Live moving forward. But, yeah, man, it's coming to the end of the road for me in this studio. Let's say that.
Right. Well, there's a lot of changes happening over there at One Bills Drive, and we've all seen a huge transformation in everything, completely over there. So it's a new day and time, Donald. What do you have planned for yourself in the future?
Well, from what I understand, you and I will be doing a Buffalo Soldiers podcast here coming up. We're shooting the first one. Draft night during the draft, during the Bills' first pick. We'll see. Hopefully they don't trade back because then we'll be there all night.
I know.
But it's you.
I'm hoping they trade up.
Yeah.
I really try to please trade up because, you know, as much as we want to be in the media and everything, and these things take time, and to sit around and record for the entire draft, I was drafted in the first round, and I was getting antsy around 10.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a tough one to sit there the whole time, but we're excited. We're excited to bring Buffalo to Buffalo. People that aren't in Buffalo but wish they were in Buffalo, that live outside of Buffalo, we're going to let everybody in Buffalo know about them. They're missing cousins, their long-lost fans that are in Manhattan and across the country. That's why we're going to be doing this show up there.
Yeah, you're going to do the show at it's the famous Bills Backers Bar in Manhattan, right? Is it McFadden's? Is that where you're doing it?
Of course. We can't go too far from home. Murph, you know that place well.
I've never been there.
You know, you've never been?
Nope. I've heard about it.
Well, then you got to be a guest. You got to be a guest on the show. And, you know, it's a great place for a lot of people that are in transit. There's a lot of travelers that come to New York that love all the different sports teams. But as you know, the Buffalo Bills fans, they find a place and they make it their own. And I'm pretty sure that part of town in Manhattan is called Little Buffalo. So we're not too far from home, Murph, and feel free to come on in and visit me and Donald while you're down.
I asked Donald about the show the other day, and he told me it was Buffalo Soldier, but he said you're not using the Bob Marley song as the theme song for your podcast. How do you... What's up with that?
Well, listen. Hold on. I don't have that much money.
I got you.
Some of these things cost. But I do have a friend that's making me add something that sounds like Bob Marley, so it's legal for me to, you know, do so.
And I think I heard you say you're talking about how you hope they trade down and don't make it a long night. You were pretty close to saying
no. Early. I want them to come early.
Right.
I want them to be up. What is the big speculation? 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Those are the numbers they've been throwing around. But, you know, we'll get into more of that later. Today's about the love fest that John Murphy's having for Donald Trump.
it's a love fest. Hey, Rube, before we let you go, what was it like for you, though? You said you were getting antsy. What was it like for you on that draft night, being a first rounder?
Well, it didn't happen exactly as we thought, and we'll talk about this more, Donald, when we get together. I never even had a meeting with the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
They never even spoke to me, but I can get into it later on how they knew about me without having a meeting with me, Sly Dogs. And but they never brought me in, and my thought was I was going to Tampa. I was looking at houseboats. I was ready to go down to Tampa and be warm and live on the beach. But some things happened. Warren Sapp got picked up by Tampa, and then we came to Buffalo and made a historic run.
All right.
Hey, Rube, thanks for calling in.
Looking forward to it, man.
Anytime.
We miss you.
Anytime, Murph. We're still gonna speak from time to time throughout the year. But Donald and I are going out on the road and connecting all the Bills fans that aren't in Buffalo to the people in Buffalo. That's our goal.
Good idea. Congratulations to both of you. Good luck with that, Ruben. Thanks for calling in.
All right, brother.
Thanks,
Ruben Brown. Talking about the podcast you're going to do.
Yeah.
And the first one is Thursday
draft
night. Draft night.
During the draft.
He came close to saying, as much as Donald and I want to be in the media, we don't want to have to work too long on draft night. Didn't he almost say that?
It sounded like he was going.
He was
going
to say, yeah, we really want to get in the media, but we just want to be out by 8 o'clock that night. 8:30 at the latest. I think that's what he was saying.
The crazy thing is, you've worked with him here on set. You know he can get to talking.
Yeah.
And you've also had Ted Washington on the show, who will be on the show with us that night.
Oh, excellent.
He's flying into town. And so, you know, those two guys are clowns. They're going to get the storytelling about them both being drafted in the first round. It's going to be fun that night. So next thing you know, we're talking, and it's like, oh, the pick is here. You know, and they might not even trade up. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
I think you're becoming a competitor of the show.
No.
It sounds like. We're doing a show, draft night as well.
No, not a competitor.
All right.
Just for the people in the bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I'd miss Ruben. I wish he was around. We haven't had him around since the season ended, right?
Yeah, he left.
He's out of town now. We're talking about Donald's last day, talking about the Bills, the draft, Sam Darnold, whatever you got. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Take a call here from Jeff in Michigan. Jeff, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Okay.
boy, less than 2 weeks now, we can start to get close. My question is this. We've had historic quarterback drafts, of course, back in 1983, 1999 and 2004. Those are the three that kind of stick out to me, and I went back and looked at them pretty closely. But my question is, we have so much technology now that have more exposure to these players, and I think it seems to me that the general public and the draft nicks can dig deeper into these guys. We're talking about this draft possibly being historic in terms of maybe five quarterbacks going in the top 10, which is very rare it's ever occurred. But we're talking also about the warts that each of these quarterbacks have. And I'm wondering, in your recollection from past drafts, these historic ones I spoke of, were there warts on those guys that obviously disappeared from memory after they got into the league, or are we just looking more closely now than we did before?
Yeah, there's warts, of course, and there has been for years. It's funny, Donald and the caller, Jeff, I had an experience last night. I was at this get-together here in Orchard Park, and a good Bills fan came up to me and said, which quarterbacks do you think they'll draft? And I gave him my opinion. He didn't like it, and he got mad. Not at me, but mad at the Bills. Oh, that's really awful. Why are they going to do that? And I thought, wait a minute. You're a fan. That's great. And you're right, Jeff, in Michigan. People have more access than they've ever had to video and reports if they want them. But these are professionals making these evaluations for these teams, all 32 of them. They're not always right, but they are professionals. I kind of trust them as opposed to any draft expert that might be out there in the media. Don't you really? I mean, yes, there's always been warts on players. And there's nobody – look, when they draft a guy, they say all the good things about him. Don't you think, and I do believe this, Jeff, and maybe you agree, Donald, in the back of their mind, and they'll do it in a couple of weeks on draft night, they'll say everything nice about whoever they draft, quarterback or not. In the back of their mind, they'll also say, I hope he does this. I hope he fixes this. I hope we can straighten that out on him. They know all of their warts. Oh, they always have warts.
You know this is the draft, so nobody is perfect in this draft. I don't care if you're Saquon Barkley. You still have some things that you can really work on and improve. They are going to say all the right things. Look, they'll even say they might want one person, don't get that person, they get another person. They're like, oh, this is the guy we wanted all along. You know, you'll never know if that's the guy they really wanted or not. And they're still going to big up that player, knowing in the back of their minds, we got to work on a lot of these things.
Yeah.
Because they know that about every player that's coming into the NFL.
And they always have. This is not a new development. Yes, those warts, those reports are out there now and circulated throughout the media more than they ever have been. The pre-draft analysis is ridiculous, really. I mean, it's all we've talked about on this show for a couple of months. It's all a lot of folks in Buffalo have talked about for 3 or 4 months. But, that, you know, it sells. That's why people do it.
Yeah.
It attracts attention. Here is Aaron calling from Oregon. Go ahead, Aaron. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I really appreciate Donald's insight and all of his swag. And I wanted to update you guys on the word swag a little bit on his last day.
Oh, yeah, give us an update. It's probably the definition has probably changed in the last hour.
Well, you know, I think Steve kind of confused everybody yesterday when he was talking about the acronym swag. So that's the stuff we all get, like, you know, you go to a conference or whatever. That's a totally different word. Donald's swag is like swagger. Like, you know, I've got swagger. It's kind of shortened, but it's also added a lot, you know, not just the old word swagger, but swag is, you know, kind of that coolness, kind of that, you know, bravado. And I love Steve. Steve was a great player, but he doesn't have quite as much swag as Donald.
I don't know really how to answer that one, but to say thank you, I guess. But Steve is my guy.
Yeah. And I just heard, I work at a high school too. I'm a language guy. I've heard them saying swag down to each other lately.
What's that mean?
So that's it kind of means like you're weak or you're being weak. Like, oh, quit swagging down, or you got to swag down if they're being too bold or something. So that's the newest thing I've heard about it. I do want to tell Donald thank you for all he does for communities and appreciate what he's done for the show. I also kind of wanted to talk about replacing Richie with somebody maybe like Luke Joko or, you know, Jari Evans or somebody like that. What do you guys think of a free agent guard?
See, I honestly, at this point, Aaron, I don't see them signing one of those guys unless one of those guys is willing to truly take a pay cut to come here, because they've said it. They don't have the money, and those two guys, you got to believe, want some money to come into town, and I just don't see that happening. I think they would rather just upgrade it through the draft if they really feel like they need to upgrade there.
And I think they will. I think as we talked to Chris Brown about you got to read Chris Brown's piece at BuffaloBills.com. Brandon Bean said it. You know, we have holes to plug, and he almost came out and said we're going to plug offensive line holes in the draft. I mean, he walked about as close to that as he could. I think that I would look for that. Not necessarily premium draft picks on the offensive line, but, you know, you get to 4, 5, 6 round, then maybe they use it on an O-lineman. And maybe that guy can step in and play, as a matter of fact.
He might
too.
Be able to step in and play if it's the right system.
Yeah.
And he feels comfortable in that thing. And I'd have to believe, I mean, they draft guys that fit in their system. You got to believe that even if they draft a 4th or 5th rounder, if he comes in and he's familiar with what they're doing, oh, this is like back in college.
Yeah.
And he ends up a starter day one.
A break here. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show with Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Lorenzo Alexander going to join the show at 2 o'clock. Interesting tweet here, Donald. I kind of like this one. Oh, I lost it. Now, where is it? Oh, here it is. 716 Hobgoblin tweets in, "Good luck in the future, Donald. Can we stop talking about swag now?"
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we can. I think all these people talking about swag have proven my point. There's too many differing definitions of this word, so that it really doesn't mean anything. But that's okay.
No, it does mean something.
It means something to you. It means something different to somebody else. It means something different to somebody else. By, I think by definition, that's a word that doesn't mean anything.
But really, though, it all is the same difference. Does that make sense?
No. You sound awfully close to your famous quote.
Have that quote?
I lost it.
Oh.
What was it? Some of the things I think I say, I actually said or something? Wasn't that
most of the things I say, I said, I usually said them.
Here's Manny and Hamburg, who may remember. Manny, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
You got it, John. I do remember.
What did he say?
He said, quote, "Most of the things I say I said, I usually said them."
and then he said, and that's the truth.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. Most of the things I say I said, I usually said them.
That is right.
That's right. And can I just add something about swag? I think swag is short, swagger. And I think where you and I kind of agree, John, swagger is a good thing to have. If you've got swag, if you're a competent player,
yeah.
If you're not an accomplished player, like, say, a Jim Kelly, then swag is BS then. Then you really don't have swag.
I like that, Manny. I like that. Swagger is an actual way of walking. When somebody said swagger, I was thinking like John Wayne in a Western movie walking into a saloon.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's a guy that oozes self-confidence.
Yeah.
Jim Kelly was famous for having swagger, but he substantiated it by being a great player.
Yeah.
You can say you got all the swag in the world, but if you're not good, you're phony.
Manny, that's a great point. Thank you very much. Some of the things I say, I said, I usually said them.
Yeah.
Classic. Classic Donald Jones. We got another call on the line right now for Donald, and it comes from Leslie in New Jersey. You're on the air. Leslie, go ahead. Hello, Leslie. Nope, guess we don't. Oh, Leslie, are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead, you're on the air with us.
Hi, this is Donald's mom.
Whoa, Donald's mom is on the line.
Uh-oh.
Hi.
I didn't do it.
No, you're not in trouble. I just wanted to call in and wish you all the luck. Just say I'm glad that you're coming home. I say a job well done there in Buffalo. You know, that's ended, but on to your next job. You're a great man, and I'm sure you will succeed in all that you do. So I'm going to say bye to Buffalo and welcome home. And I love you.
Hey, thank you, Ma. Before you hang up, though, did you hear my famous quote?
Was that your quote?
That was my quote. Most of the things I say, I said, I usually said them. That's the truth. What do you think about that?
I believe that's probably true.
You know what? That's why you're my mom.
You say you said it, you said it.
Usually said them.
No, he did say them.
Oh, your mother's got a different quote.
Oh, see.
He does. He does have swag. He's bringing his swag home.
Leslie, how do you define swag? What is it?
It's just knowing that you're confident. You are what you say you are, and you are what you say you can be.
Okay.
Great. And that's him.
Thank you, Leslie. Thanks for calling.
Mom. See you soon.
That's kind of cool having your mom call.
Yeah.
That's great. She also adds that is now the 385th different definition of the word swag that we've heard since we went on the air at noon today.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I'm beginning to get a sense of what swag really is.
Are you?
No, because it doesn't mean anything. Hey, this is interesting. Dez Bryant, we mentioned earlier, and we'll have it in the update, let go by the Dallas Cowboys, kind of a shock, I guess, maybe not, tweeted this out moments ago. If I didn't have my edge, I got it now. I'm sorry, they got to feel me. It's personal. It's very personal. Hurt feelings from Dez Bryant. Ooh. Donald, what do you make of that?
He's crying right now.
Yeah.
It's the same Dez Bryant I seen at the combine. Tears, right in tears. You know, players play with a lot of emotion. Players embrace the city. He's from that area, from what I understand. And when you go through something like this, a change in a place that drafted you, and you feel like I still have something left in the tank, all of that stuff, you love playing for that town. It does hurt when they release you.
Timing's interesting. Why do you think now for the Cowboys?
I'm not really sure.
I don't know either.
I'm not really sure. They brought in Allen Hurns. They paid him some money. They brought in some other guys. I mean, they already had a couple of guys on the roster. And so Dez Bryant had to see the writing on the wall. Yeah, he had to understand that this was coming.
A lot of moves like that happened a month ago, right? When the trades began first week of March.
And he probably went into a meeting with Jerry Jones expecting for something to get done because it's been so long.
Yeah.
Because you're now at this point. Because he's not in the position. And as a player, you're like, yo, you're going to release me now? Why couldn't you release me back then when all of the teams were handing out money for these guys?
Yeah.
Now these teams don't have the same amount of money. I mean, some teams might have the money still left in the bank and pay them. But at the end of the day, I don't have all of these different options because you have certain teams that might have wanted me, but they don't have the money now. And so that's like disrespectful is how he's going to feel about it. And that's why he's saying it's personal. It's very personal. But to the team, it's business.
You can drive yourself crazy, I believe, trying to sort through what the Dallas Cowboys do on a regular basis. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Everything is about the ratings, and it's all about
– it's a different atmosphere down there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Lorenzo Alexander will join us. He wants to say goodbye to Donald Jones on his last show. We'll take more of your phone calls as well. We can talk some football as well. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Donald Jones returns. Lorenzo Alexander stopping by. Come on back for more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Buffalo Bills continue to look at prospects for the NFL draft less than 2 weeks away. Bills have a contingent reportedly out west working in a private workout with USC quarterback Sam Darnold in Los Angeles area. Meantime, the Bills held a free agent visit this past week with former Chargers defensive tackle Tenny Palapoi. He played on the same defensive line in college at Utah with the Bills' star Lotulelei. Palapoi, 6'1", 298 pounds, spent the last four seasons with the Chargers, came on with San Diego and Los Angeles as an undrafted free agent in 2014. Jim Kelly, Bills Hall of Fame quarterback, still making progress according to his doctor in New York. A statement released earlier today saying that Kelly has been moved out of the intensive care unit and walked on his own to make that transition from the unit to the inpatient floor. Well, he will continue the next phase of his care. The doctor said Kelly is still several days away from resuming swallowing and taking nutrition by mouth. NFL news, Dez Bryant released by the Dallas Cowboys, a longtime wide receiver let go. Bryant's release comes after a highly anticipated meeting with Cowboys owner Jerry Jones to discuss his contract situation. He was due $12.5 million with a $16.5 million cap hit in 2018. Speaking of wide receiver money, the Browns and wide receiver Jarvis Landry are close to finalizing a long-term deal that would average more than $15 million per season. And baseball, the Bisons, game two of their homestand tonight. First Friday night bash of the season. Bisons put Chris Rowley on the mound to play the Indianapolis Indians with the first pitch tonight at 6:05. Yesterday, the Herd lost their season opener 2-1 to Indianapolis, the home opener, rather. A crowd of 11,000 on hand for that. And that is the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones on his final show of all time.
Yeah.
And joining us in studio is good buddy, Bill's linebacker, Lorenzo Alexander. Lorenzo, thanks for coming by.
Oh, yeah. You know, I love coming on. Love listening to the show. Matter of fact, I was listening to the show the other day. When you thought I was listening to the show, I was listening, you know.
Was this when we had DeMario Davis on?
I don't know. It was before DeMario. Oh, but, you know, you like to talk trash. And matter of fact, I know Lorenzo's probably listening to the show now. You know how you get in your modes.
I did, actually. I tried to get DeMario to give us some dirt on you. He was like, nah, I ain't got no dirt on you.
Nobody got no dirt, man. That's my guy, man.
How do you know DeMario?
Just from playing in the league a long time. Been around. Same circles. Great guy, actually, and then, you know, he's winning the
Call the Courage
Award. Yeah. I was a recipient last year. He's a recipient this year. So it's a great little fraternity that's there, because I just was aware of it last year and just seeing the names that came before me, guys like Don Davis, Kyle Williams, London Fletcher. Those names are pretty impressive names to be associated with.
I was telling Donald, and I told DeMario Davis, I think, the other day, and I've emceed that deal for a long time, Frank Reich's Call the Courage Award, Curtis Martin. Running back, right?
Yeah.
Jets.
Mm-hmm.
He gave the most incredible speech I think I've ever heard when he won the Call the Courage Award. Have you ever run into Curtis Martin? Have you ever dealt with him?
I think he was up here last year, or maybe a couple of years
ago.
But I don't know him that well.
Amazing.
Seems
speech.
like an awesome guy. Was you there last year for me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was there.
It's a long time. I'm getting old.
Yeah, I was there.
But yeah, again, you know, I'm great to be on the show.
Yeah.
I actually came on at the 2 o'clock hour purposely. I heard, you know, when y'all had Tasker on and y'all had that short day that y'all was complaining about the 2 hour.
Yeah.
So that's normally my hour that I come on the show. So lively it up a little bit, help you get through your last day and help
we
out.
We need that.
And, you know, obviously it's a bittersweet. Been talking about Donald leaving. Obviously it's sweet because we know God has something great for him waiting on the other side. As far as his future, I know you're going to be doing some stuff with Ruben, right? Down in Jersey, New York area.
New York.
So that should be fun. And then obviously it's bitter for me because I no longer have nobody I can rag on. I respect Tasker too much to do that, so I won't be able to do that next year. You know,
so you don't respect me.
It's not that, you know, but, you know, so you don't forget what we created this year, the relationship. I actually had the guys in the back make up a video. That's something that you can take, and then when you're feeling down, you just put it on, play it, and, you know, maybe bring a little bit of joy into your life.
Okay.
I had those guys roll that footage for me.
You know, I think some people feel like we don't have a good relationship.
No, that's why we can talk to each other like this.
Right, exactly. Work through it.
Yeah.
You know,
we want to allow him to be soft. You know, Donald's naturally soft-minded.
Here we go.
It takes a village to raise people, right?
I mean, and you're soft-minded.
What?
God is so short-sighted, man. It's all about me when you're talking about receivers, man.
Really?
It is. Me. You know, just let me know when you want me to come in and take over
him, because
I would never do that to you. He's leading by example. He's not just words.
Yeah, all right. You know, I was blocking.
It didn't sound like it.
No. I was blocking. I was using a lot of blocking, matter of fact.
When I asked you, you said, like, yeah, I don't want to block. Make it
I
so
didn't
what
say
is
I don't want to block.
When things go well, it's me. It's me. When something bad happens, you know what? It was Freddie ran up my leg twice, same play, same ankle. So that's why I don't block. Or they could just throw the ball and go 90 yards. So when you say stuff like that, that means you didn't block. That's the type of guy you are, huh?
That is the type of guy I am.
Come
that's
on,
right.
You got to rise above that, man. Got it on here. I got Exos, baby. I'm going to look you up. And then I'll come here with a full report on DJ. Because right now you just talk a lot of stuff, and nobody can look you up. I say something, people going to go look me up and say, look at you, trash, or something, you know? I just want to let you know I love you. I brought you a nice wing hat. You know, I told you my guy took care of me.
Thank
so Merry
you.
Christmas.
Wow. But look, well, thank you, know? You for the
and,
Christmas
you know,
gift.
Yeah.
Thank you for the
Christmas. Yeah, so I'm hooking you up. You know, it's Christmas time, so we're not going to argue today. We're going to show the people what it's all about, okay? Yeah.
There you go.
It's a great video,
that
man.
I was a better-looking dude than
that. That's
but
a great video.
That was a very one-sided video.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to bring you joy and happy, man. I mean, if you're talking in a video, you're not going to really like it. So we make sure that it emphasizes me getting on you and just encouraging. Some of that stuff is wisdom in there, so you can listen to it and grow if you forget about
like
what I talked about.
One piece of wisdom in there.
That was a lot. Don't be about yourself.
That was
be
a one-sided
team guy.
Video. You know what?
Don't throw Murph under
so
the bus.
This is what happens because
it's a lot of great stuff in there. You just have to dig a little bit.
The few times that, you know, he and I have been on together, those guys created stuff for me really to get on him. So this time I didn't know anything about that video. They created stuff, didn't tell me anything. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, that's, those are my guys now. You're not no longer part of the building.
Yeah.
You're gone.
You're
my guys.
I wonder if my badge will work on Monday.
Probably not. It might not work now.
You know how lucky you are to have a guy who is you know, looking out for you, a mentor, a guy who is, you can count on to point you in the right direction. You should feel pretty good about that.
We don't all get those. You know, it was one piece of advice in there. But the rest of it was just.
You loved every bit. I wish they'd have put the Black Panther one. I guess they must have missed. That was too new. You had your Black Panther get up. And I killed you. You just looked at yourself.
Yeah,
you got me.
I got on all black today.
It's not the same. The sweater is what did it. Because it looked like the actual necklace and all that,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. It did have like a, you're right.
It's all good, though. You know, we love you. Good luck in your next venture. And obviously to the family, that's the most important thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely the most important
thing. Why do you have a stick in your hand? I mean, what is that?
Because.
For? What is
this
that?
Was because I knew you were coming on.
Was it? Yeah, see?
I don't know why. There's been a couple of episodes that I just hold this thing. It's really for Murph. You know, Murph, sometimes he'll get beside himself. He'll get out of pocket, as we like to say. And then sometimes you got to put him back in the pocket.
It's all good, man. So what are we talking about today, guys? Well, I see you quarterbacks.
You know, you obviously have an interest in broadcasting. You've talked about that. Yeah. What have you learned from Donald Jones' post-football
broadcast? He's going to say nothing. I can't wait, to be honest. I mean, hopefully.
You know what? He gives his opinion. He does a good job of giving his opinion. And he does what I can't do yet, but he does do a good job of criticizing players, but being respectful in doing it.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, obviously a skill set, because a lot of guys are just disrespect players, not knowing how hard it is. But he does a good job of giving a critique and a perspective, all while being respectful of the game and the guys.
When Lorenzo is done playing, whenever that might be, I look forward to him actually being on this side in the media.
Yeah, we might even get a show together. I'm gonna jump on a series. I'll be in AZ.
He'll be in Arizona, so we'll be doing something different. It's gonna be fun. Now imagine us together every day or however often we would do it.
People
would be like, do they like each other? Sponsors, I don't know if they like each other. We can't work with
them. Do you like each other?
Yeah, that's my guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man. That's my
This is how we relate.
And it's crazy because we just met 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. And we have a good relationship, kind of like that little brother, big brother relationship.
And who's little and big?
He's little.
Okay.
I'm big. I'm the oldest as well.
What are you, about 3 or 4 years older than Donald? 4 years?
What are you, 31?
I'm 30. Were you 35? 34?
In May. Okay. In May, I'll be 35.
All right, I get it.
So he's 5. He's old. That's an old dude right there.
He's great, man. I'm still playing. I'm rolling.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I'll be old. I'm unique. One of a kind. Ain't too many of us doing it. Yeah.
WD-40.
Yeah.
In his locker.
Lorenzo Alexander in studio with us. Donald Jones is with us. Lorenzo, Monday, first day of the off-season conditioning program.
Yeah.
Big deal, not a big deal? What is it?
It's not a big deal. I mean, obviously, it's great for having all the guys back in one location training. But I trust that most of the guys have been doing that anyway. So it's just kind of getting back of really getting to know each other again, hanging out, getting to know the defensive scheme, and then obviously just working out together and starting to build that bond and chemistry and that culture and that process that we kind of talk about around here. And it all really starts again in April, because you have to recreate it. Because we have so many new faces. I mean, my daughter actually came up here this morning. We had breakfast. I brought all my kids, and she's looking up at the big board that we have in our locker room where you weigh in and it checks you in green. Yeah. And she's like, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? You know, so she can name off some of the guys, but she couldn't figure out some of the new faces. So we do have a new core group of guys that will be coming in this year.
Now, you guys right now will be allowed to meet with the coaches, right? But you can't be on the field with the coaches.
Right. So we'll have like our position meetings where we're just going over film study, going over the playbook. We might even throw some film on from last year, just trying to critique guys. The good thing about this year is now that we can watch our stuff. We don't have to watch the Carolina Panthers defense anymore, you know.
You're tired of watching.
Right. We can see how we did, and you can correct yourself and see how you can do better moving forward.
Right.
Especially for me, you know, playing the wheel, being off the ball for the first time in like maybe 3 or 4 years. I'm looking to have an explosion this year of even getting better and being more consistent throughout the season. So I'm looking forward to this time.
When you walked in here a year ago at this time, it was all new. New coaching staff, everybody was new, right?
Was new. I mean, outside of the training room and the training staff, but just getting to know your position coach, obviously Sean, the head coach, some of the front office members, just a new vibe, trying to figure out what he wanted, what standard he was setting, the vision that he was trying to communicate, you know, obviously bringing the leadership group together and trying to educate us and inform us on what he thought and the direction of our team should be, so that we can then go into our locker rooms and then infect each social group that we each have our own and then impact the locker room that way. So this year is kind of, we know what to expect. We know what our roles are. Obviously, we got to indoctrinate the new guys, the free agents, and the draftees once they get here. But it's an easier process because we have multiple guys that understand what Sean's vision is. It's not everybody learning it together.
You guys already have the foundation, and now you're just adding pieces to that foundation.
Exactly. Yeah. And so once you set that up, it's easy. And that's why you see teams like a New England, the Patriots, Green Bay, the perennial playoff teams, the teams that have success year in and year out, they have changeover decks like everybody else, but that foundation, the head coaches have only been there for several years, and they just rolling guys in, and they know what to expect. They jump in, and if you ain't on board, you out of there quickly. Yeah. So that's what we're trying to create here, and hopefully we can start doing this and build another year on a first great year for Sean and this Buffalo Bills team.
Even the teams that are successful most years must feel it. You guys would probably feel it on Monday. You don't pick up where you left off, do you? You start fresh.
You do start fresh. It's and that's why you have each and every year teams that surprise you and jump out of nowhere and teams that fall off and you try to figure it out. So you never can get complacent and figure, well, last year we went to the playoffs or last year we went to the championship game or last year we won 12 games. You have to each year reinvent yourself and reinvest in your team and yourself if you want to achieve success on a consistent basis. And I think that's key as far as us communicating that, especially to young guys who come in. And that's why you often see sophomore slumps.
Yeah.
Because they just assume, okay, I bought out my first year. I'm good. I don't really have to do, I can stay the same, just do what I did. Well, no, you got to each year add something and fix something to your game because people are going to exploit that. And that's what we had to do as a football team, right? We had some holes and some deficiencies defensively and offensively that we have to shore up through this process. And now that we understand what the overall scheme, obviously we have a new offensive coordinator, I get that. But especially defensively, I know what I need to do. I know what is going to be asked of me. I know what I need to ask of my D-line and our DBs. You know, Micah Hyde understands that. Kyle Williams understands that. So it's going to be, for us, we're starting a little ahead of than where we were last year.
How different will it be for you as a linebacking core without Preston Brown? He was a big piece for us.
It's going to be hard. I mean, right now we don't have a Mike. I mean, obviously that's going to fall on Tanner right now, and he didn't play that much last year, so there's a lack of experience in that position. And obviously it will be addressed through the rest of the offseason, maybe the draft. Maybe I'll have to fill some of those duties as well to give us some depth there and continue to be that jack of all trades and move around and do different type of things on first and second down versus third down. But it's something that I think they will address and bring in linebackers. And if we have to do it by committee, we have to do it by committee. It might not look traditional or what, you know, people may think it will be, but we will be out there ready to play regardless who's playing Mike. And guys just have to stand up and maybe have a surprise somewhere else and fill that void the best way we can collectively.
Lorenzo Alexander in studio with us. The Bills on the verge of their off-season conditioning program. It starts Monday. Voluntary until you get to the mandatory minicamp in June. Have you always gone through the voluntary sessions every
year? Yeah, I've always gone because I've always been a bubble guy the majority of my career. I think it was only one year where I missed maybe the first couple of weeks, and that's when I signed here late the first year. I think I missed the first 2 weeks because then it was just the training portion. We didn't have any meetings. And for me, it's just because I signed late and had to get my family ready for that transition and me not being there. But other than that, I'm always there because I think it is important, especially to have your leadership buy into that process and working out. And just not that I can't get my workout at home, but it's just a great picture for the young guys, especially to see how does a guy that's been in the league X amount of years when we have, you know, Shady, myself, Kyle, that was E. Wood and Richie before this last offseason, and give them a clear picture of what that looks like, you know, what that work looks like on and off the field. And they get to talk to us, and we get to build that relationship a little bit quicker if we're a part of that offseason program.
Now, you mentioned Kyle. You've been up here essentially by yourself, you and your family.
Yep.
The entire offseason, the entire winter, as we talk about, is still cold.
Still winter.
Still winter, yeah, in April. But Kyle has been back home. Now you got to be happy to get him back here because you guys, your kids are close.
Right. Well, his kids aren't coming until the season. So my kids kind of hang out with Bobby Babbage's kids. They live right across the street from us. And I think I don't know if Vontae has any kids, but I know he's moving to our neighborhood. We got a couple of other people in our neighborhood. So they find friends within that in our Brompton's neighborhood, and we hang out that way.
It's voluntary, but if you're not here, do you think guys feel pressure? Like they're looking at me funny because I haven't been to the voluntary workouts or I've only been to a few.
I think it all depends on who you are. And if you communicate with them, especially if you're a veteran guy, I don't think they have an issue with it. Like for me in my situation, it was just I wanted to be with my family for that 2 more weeks
right.
to transition into coming. But I think most of the guys tend to show up. It's only sometimes when you have a veteran guy or a guy that's been in the league for a little bit and you don't trust them, mm-hmm. that's when you start putting pressure on the guy. Hey, right. We need you back. Because either you haven't performed, that hasn't worked for you in the past, or we don't trust you to put in the type of work that you need to be ready and prepared to be a part of this football team.
Now, I mean, most guys come to this. I mean, some guys have workout bonuses. So
yeah, most of the guys have workout bonuses. Now, so that's just the way the team builds it, so they make it.
Did you see that Mike Wallace bonus?
No, what did he have?
He had the receiver,
right,
Mike Wallace.
Right,
uh-huh. He got a $500,000 bonus
yeah.
if he's under 250 pounds.
Oh.
It's like, y'all might as well just give him the money. What are we talking about? This dude's like 180 soaking wet.
Yeah. What was that all about? I read that and thought I read it wrong.
That, yeah. Right? No, I don't know. Yeah, it was some incentive.
Yeah, I don't even structurally why would they even do that? Because it's going to count against the cap anyway because he's always under 250 pounds.
Right. You might just give him the money. You should have given that in a signing bonus. Right. That just didn't make sense to me.
If he reports back at under 250 pounds.
Right.
All right.
We're with Lorenzo
Alexander.
He's
agent.
Exactly.
Lorenzo Alexander in studio with us for a couple more minutes. Hey, I want to ask you, every day on our show, Donald knows this. That's probably why he's leaving. All we do is talk about the draft, quarterbacks in the draft.
Can't do this no more.
Right? I know, yeah.
We've had that discussion.
Right.
We walked off here at 3:02 saying, I can't talk about quarterbacks again tomorrow, can I? But we managed to get through it. Now we're less than 2 weeks away. But are players in the league like yourself, are you aware of the narrative and how people are crazy about this quarterback draft this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, because I listen to your guys' show.
Okay,
and
good.
That's really the only reason. Outside of that, I mean, I don't go home and think about it and look on my draft board, my fantasy draft board, and try to figure it out. You know, who can we jump over? How many picks we're going to get? I mean, I don't really worry about that. I let Brandon handle his job and go about my business. But players, we don't care about that. I mean, it doesn't really affect us until we draft the guy that's going to be here.
Yeah.
And that's all we really care about.
I'm surprised you're still listening because we talk about quarterbacks the same thing every
day. Well, I don't listen to the whole show. I kind of tune in when I'm in the car. So mm-hmm. if I'm in the car, I turn you guys on.
You just always hear me say something about Lorenzo's probably listening
right now. It just happens to be. When you're talking trash, you know, it just happens to be that I'm on. So I just like to let you know that I'm listening so you know not to get too out of pocket.
Okay.
So you know.
So you can put me
back. Yeah, that's really what
right
it is. You know,
put me back in the
pocket. You know, people talk differently when they know that you are listening to what they're saying.
Are you going to listen when Donald leaves?
Yeah, I'll listen. I like
Steve. Don't sound committed.
Will you watch this?
No, I will.
I'll listen a little bit.
I will listen. I mean, I keep 550 is on. That's I'm a talk show radio nut at this point. I grew up, my uncle listened to it. I'm like, man, why are we listening to sports talk radio? Yeah. Turn some music on.
Right.
Now, that's all I listen to now. That's set the 550, turn the car in the morning, drive to work, listen to the morning show, afternoon show. Night show, whenever I'm in the car, that's what I'm listening to.
Well, the longer you're in the league, you slide more into our target demographic. Old guys, you know.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think part of it is.
He's already in that demographic.
I think part of it's what I want to do when I'm done, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like to listen to people's perspectives and how they deliver their opinions.
You probably heard us talk about this. What's your definition of swag?
Swag, confidence, mentality, mojo. It's a lot of different things it can be. Swag also can be a noun. It's actually a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I give a free sweatshirt away at a camp. That's swag.
That's swag, right.
You know, and it's swag because it's going to make you look fresh, give you confidence, you know. Look good, feel good, play good.
Right. Yet another definition.
No, it's an accumulation. You don't really like the word swag?
No, I don't mind it. I just think it's got so many different means, everybody's got a different thought about what it means, that there is no meaning. You know what I mean? Everybody's got a different idea of what swag means.
I think I've heard everybody, and it all generalizes around confidence.
Around confidence.
That's the closest I've heard, and I've heard it several times today. Hey, speaking of swag, stuff that people get, what did Steve Tasker say that means? Have you seen the NFL draft caps put together by New Era? I know you're a hat guy.
I will not get the draft hat.
Why? Bill Eve, the Bills draft cap.
That's not my style.
Why is that?
I don't like Bill Eve. I just don't like that word combination.
About the inside of it.
I mean, it's cool. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it. I don't like the combination of the hat. I mean, I like unique And I like the logo when the logo's emphasized for
gotcha,
me.
Yeah.
And then I also like flat billed hats. I don't like
the round boys.
That's not my style anyway.
So you like the 5950s?
Yeah, that's me all day.
That's
normally what
there,
I rock, yeah. Mm-hmm. Snapback.
They put like slogans. Bill says hey, what does it say?
It's the song.
Yeah.
Let's go, Buffalo.
After we scored a touchdown.
Right.
Stevie and I tried to get them to change that.
Why? It's tradition.
I know, but just was trying to be rebels like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like that, you know. We wanted
me,
them to
me
play.
Guys again. See?
I mean, wide receivers.
Listen, me guys.
We were trying to give the stadium some swag, some different swag. I'm going to tell you what really happened.
See, you got to understand. Culturally here is different than what you're trying to feel.
I know. Now, what happened was we had gone out to San Fran. We got waxed by the 49ers. I'm talking smoke
right.
off the
that's
field.
That's
when they were good.
Good, yeah.
Then we went down to Arizona. We flew straight down to Arizona
for the
week in Arizona. And we were talking about, this was Candlestick still. It was like, Candlestick was rocking.
Oh.
You know, it was like, we got to get the stadium rocking in Buffalo like that. But they got a DJ in the stadium playing
DJ
music during the – well, yeah, but they were playing music kind of like during the game. It was just a different vibe out
right,
there. But, Oakland, it's the Bay Area.
Yeah,
they got a different thing going on.
Yeah, we got
anyway.
A different swag out there. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Are you going to come in and do on the Fridays? You going to do the lowdown with us, even if Donald's not here?
Okay. Yeah, of course. It's not about Donald. It's about us.
Good.
You still got to inform the people, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. You know, what's One Bills Live now, right?
One Bills Live starting the 23rd, week from Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. You have been listening. That's good.
I do. I listen. I tell you, I listen. It's set 550, number one set, preset.
There you go. I'm sure they're going
to
use that.
Yeah, I'm just excited to be with Steve Tasker. I mean, y'all just don't. If I got a crush on a dude, it's Steve Tasker. I mean, he's a special teams demon that set the standard. And I just love, because that's what I was brought up on with Danny Smith, who was a coach here. So to be able to sit next to him, 16, 17 weeks out of the year next year is going to be a real privilege.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And y'all see things. Because Steve watches the games, he'll even if he's calling a game somewhere else, he still will end up watching the Bills video.
Yeah,
and you guys will be able to now really sit on a regular basis. Hey, what'd you see on this?
Right. Yeah,
you guys will see things kind of the same way as two special teams guys.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited about it.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming by.
Oh yeah, of course.
Donald's gonna miss you. Well, I'll have you around here, but Donald will miss you. Won't you?
I will.
Or no,
I will.
Okay.
But I'll talk to him though.
Okay. Yeah, from time to time.
Yeah.
I got your number.
I'll hit
text
him up.
You.
No, I'm going to text you. And just don't – let's not get into – because here's the thing. When you get into season, you get a lot of text messages, especially after games.
Yeah, I text people back.
How long does it usually take?
I don't get that many texts. So my close friends, I text back. If I know the number, if you're in my phone, I text you back. You can ask most people that know me. I'm a good text. I'm not one of those guys. Yeah, my number will be the same.
Jersey
lights.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll text you back in 2 weeks.
Nah, yeah.
You get a text back in 2 weeks like, oh, what up? Like, man, I forgot what I wanted to talk to you about.
Lorenzo, thanks for this. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lorenzo Alexander with the Bills in studio with us, saying goodbye to Donald Jones. We've got more to come. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and I am so broken up by Donald's last show that I forgot you're staying the whole hour. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I
no
said
worries.
Goodbye to you. Are you okay to stay?
Yeah, I'm
That's
good.
That's my bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I allotted an hour. We good.
You gave up.
You kicked him out and then said, oh, wait.
I uninvited him and then said, don't go anywhere yet.
Yeah,
Lorenzo's
exactly.
staying with us for the rest of the hour. Donald's last show, almost 2 years on the show. It's a lot of great moments, many of them with Lorenzo, some of them different ones too, right?
Oh, yeah. We had some good and we had some interesting, to say the least. But the one that we had Dominique Foxworth on, I can't remember what he was talking about. I can't remember exactly what it was. But when we got off air, it was like, yo, this dude is smart. Like, the points he just made was like, wow, that was pretty good. It was something like having a coach's combine, wasn't it?
Oh, was
yes.
It was about
exactly
having a coach's combine.
A combine for coaches.
A combine for coaches.
Teaching coaches how to be coaches.
For assistant coaches that want to be head coaches.
Oh, okay.
Have a combine where you go through, different situations and see how they react to it.
Oh, like put them in a simulator or something like
that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That would make sense. I mean, but Dominic's a smart dude. He was the president of the NFLPA for a while, too.
Okay. Now, what is he doing? He's right.
I want to say he went to Harvard Business School. and graduated from there. The dude is sharp now after he finished up football because his career was cut short because he had some injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's doing right now, but I know he's successful.
He's doing media.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah,
okay.
He's doing, I'm not sure exactly where he is. He writes.
Yeah.
But I've seen him on ESPN a couple of times.
That's a dude that can do whatever he wants to do. Yeah. I mean, he has a lot of great relationships and ties, and a lot of doors have been opened for him. So he's all over the place.
Yeah. Then we had on the flip side of it, which was pretty funny, what we were just talking about was Stefania Bell.
Oh, from ESPN?
From ESPN. We had her on, and she was, you know, she's like the medical lady for ESPN. They bring her on to talk about injuries.
We had her on a camp.
We had her on that training camp, and we had just gotten done with Marcell Dareus. And you guys were just getting off the field from practice.
Wow.
And so Marcell, you know, he's a lineman. We all get sweaty. But Marcell sits down in the chair, and the chair is drenched at that point.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know. It's soaked.
It's especially soaked,
these,
right.
These type of chairs, too?
Yes. You, know,
you can't even wipe these
I
off.
I mean, it just sits in there. It's like a sponge.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Man.
So then she comes. Did we even warn her?
No.
No.
No, you didn't.
Didn't have
you,
time.
Didn't, she just sat down. She just sat down, and it was like, oh. All right. And she had to go straight to the airport. And I know people had to be looking at her like, lady, you.
They had to get her something. Some of the equipment guys. They just put these sweats on
so.
Real quick.
I don't think so.
She hasn't been back on the show since.
No.
I wouldn't come back either.
She even been back to Buffalo?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Never go back there. Everybody's sweaty in Buffalo.
Everybody's sweaty in Buffalo.
Hey, Lorenzo, I want to get your – well, let me do this. I think we have some phone calls. Folks want to talk about the draft, but
– Of course they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let me get a couple other calls in here. All right, here's a call. Andrew on the line. Andrew, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say, John, I'm sorry to say it, but if you need swag to be defined, you just don't have it. So.
Oh, well, thank you, Andrew, swag expert that you are.
Well, oh, I'm from Rochester.
Okay.
A lot of swag in Rochester.
I love your show. I listen every day. I'm going to miss Donald a lot, but unlike some of those Twitters you had earlier, I don't think your show sucks. In fact, I love it, and I'll keep listening. Helps me get through my school day.
Who says the show sucks?
Wait, let's talk about you getting through your school day and listening to this show and not in class.
Well, you know, I need something to get me through. It's kind of a, I don't know. That's a, well, I listen every day the whole time. But I want to say, I listen to your, I mean, all my information about the quarterbacks are from you guys. If Josh Rosen's biggest problem is his smarts, then I don't really see why he's not clearly the number one pick overall. But also, before I go, I want to say if LeSean McCoy really wanted Richie Incognito back, which I do because I love him, I'm going to miss him on your show. He's one of my favorite players to hear talk. We were thinking that maybe he should offer one of his kidneys or livers up, too.
Whoa.
Not just $300K, so...
Sheesh.
Nice.
Go back to school. You see how he danced around that school thing.
Yeah, go back to school.
One of his kidneys or
liver.
Do you have more than one liver?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you only have one liver. You have two kidneys.
Yeah,
so you have to give a piece of the liver. He wouldn't play anymore, essentially.
Essentially.
So now we're missing two
key
players.
Wouldn't play either. I mean, there's a reason why I stopped playing
right.
after a kidney transplant.
Right.
Yeah, with that whole thing, LeSean McCoy offering $300,000 to – did you see that?
I saw it. Shoot, Shady offered me a little bit too, baby.
I'll play
a little fullback. I'll open up some stuff. You know, I've done it, baby. I got tape. Give me a little extra.
Yeah. I need that. I need that.
Always.
Actually. You got it.
He's got a house,
it.
Man. I need it.
Yeah.
Let's take a call from Jeff in Mississauga. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Oh, Donald, sad to see you leaving the show. I've been listening every day at work pretty much. Got the headphones in, working away.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Now, I just wanted to touch a little bit on Lamar Jackson. Now, this guy... pure athlete, but also a really good passer. I mean, he had nobody to throw to in Louisville. And yet, he still threw for more yards than most quarterbacks. He also ran for more yards than Saquon Barkley and had more rushing touchdowns than Saquon Barkley. I think he would be a perfect fit in Buffalo. He would help mask the holes at offensive line. You know what I'm saying? This guy, a lot of people are sleeping on him. And before the year even started, I thought, personally, he could be a first overall pick.
Hmm.
I don't know why everyone stopped talking about him.
Because there are better quarterbacks. I'll stop you right there. There are better quarterbacks in this draft than Lamar Jackson. Look, he might be a first-rounder, but there are better quarterbacks in this first round available than Lamar Jackson. There, I said it.
I like that hot take.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Enough swag with that take.
No, I like that. Look, there right now, there are a bunch of guys, or at least four guys, that everyone feels like are more ready to play in this league. Now, Lamar Jackson might end up the best one of them all because you never know what's going to happen. But right now, coming out, when you just look at the measurables and intangibles, as we talked about yesterday, there are at least four guys that everybody's like, he's more ready to go. Josh Allen, I might take out of there because I don't know if he's ready to go at this level yet. But everybody likes those four guys.
That's all we do, Lorenzo.
Talk about quarterbacks. That's all we do. That's what they do upstairs too. Everybody's trying to figure out who they like, break them apart. I mean, really, like we call this from the PA side, the devaluing process. So they nitpicking every single thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Lamar Jackson. Playmaking ability is probably the best out of anybody up on this board, just what he was able to do in college. But at the same time, people are trying to see him translate to a traditional NFL offense. And when you think about elite quarterback, the first three guys that come to my mind are pocket passers. Mm-hmm. I think about Drew Brees. I think about Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I think about Tom Brady. Those are the first three. And there's some other guys like a Russell Wilson and
Cam Newton.
There we go. Cam Newton that are good as well, and they're multidimensional, but those are not the first guys that come to my mind when I think about franchise quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And so is that right or wrong? I don't know, but I just know how the front office people think. That's what they think too.
Right.
And that's what they're looking for, and not that Lamar Jackson can't be that guy, but I don't know if he's ready to be that initially atop of these other guys, kind of alluding to what John was saying. They're just better guys that are playing the quarterback position. Not playmakers necessarily, but play the quarterback position in which you are asking him to do in a traditional offensive style of way of playing football.
Here's I would think they're asking themselves, if you take – and it's hard to say this because his legs are a part of his game.
Right.
But if you take away his legs, can he just beat you from within the pocket? And we all know at this level – you need to be able to win from within the pocket. You can make some plays running around making throws. But look back at this past year when teams said about Tyrod Taylor, we made him play quarterback. And when you made him play quarterback, the offense really couldn't get going. And so they're going to look at Lamar Jackson the same way. Once these defenses catch up to what he's able to do, he's going to have to be able to stand back there in the pocket. And this is not to say he can't do it. You actually see him do it when you watch him on film.
Right.
He will go through his progressions and all of that stuff. But can he do it consistently enough at this level to be a true franchise quarterback?
Yeah, and that's always hard because of his legs, it actually opens up the pass game. Because most of the times you may even just rush three and drop a spy, and that spy really ain't rushing.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives the offensive line the more of an advantage and gives him more time. Right. So, and that's always hard. Does that translate the level? Because you don't want your quarterback running all the time.
No.
Cam is able to do it because he's a bigger body.
Mm-hmm.
Russell's able to do it. He knows how to slide and get out of the way.
Yeah.
But, when I think of running quarterback, I was scarred by it because I had RG3 my rookie year, and he got destroyed.
Yes.
I thought his leg was going to fall off. Mm-hmm. And he had some big plays, ooh, ooh, ooh. But when he got caught by Haloti Ngata, my gosh. And that's what head coaches and GMs worry about is he going to take a hit like that to where now he can't play or he's scarred for the rest of his life?
Right.
And that's more so what's going to happen because you're going to get hit eventually. Somebody's going to catch you, whether it's a clean hit or a late hit, because you've put yourself in that position to get hit.
Right, exactly.
And that's always apprehensive, especially as an offensive-minded guy, because you don't want that guy to go down. And for players that play more of a risky style of football, which that is because you're putting yourself in harm's way, guys on this level more athletic can run. You got 250 pounds, like Zach Brown, who runs 4.4.
Right.
You don't have too many linebackers like that in college. Yeah. Now, you're going to see somebody like that each and every single week that's hunting you down. So, what happens when he takes those hits? Is he going to be able to get up and finish a game and do that over a period of 17 weeks?
I'd imagine you guys as defensive players, you get one of these mobile quarterbacks, you like, please take off. Because you take off, now you're a runner. And now I get the opportunity.
Well, it depends on who it is. If it's Michael Vick,
you gotta be careful.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
I can take Cam, because he's not Michael Vick. I don't think nobody's been a Michael Vick, but that's probably the only one I would never Just stay back there. Stay in the pocket, please.
Don't take off. And I think people look at him and feel like he is that dynamic with his legs. But, I mean, there will come a point where you get hit. And he's not the thickest guy out there. Right. So,
and Michael Vick used to get hurt all the time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to learn how to get out of bounds or slide. I mean, Deshaun Watson, prime example, starts out hot. What happens? He gets hurt. A mobile quarterback, a guy who was running around, can make some plays, but that's what they worry about. Can you actually stay healthy for us? Will you learn how to actually slide? Because he's not the guy that's sliding in college.
No, I mean, he's running over cats, jumping over guys.
You're doing crazy stuff.
You getting
exposed. Like
you jump. Somebody come out of nowhere to smack you.
Right, exactly. So, you know, they want him. And that's, it's hard to invest a number one overall pick or even a top 10 pick in a guy that we're not really sure if he's going to really protect himself like that.
Hey, Lorenzo, you used a phrase a moment ago about where we are in the draft process. I think you called it the devaluation period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Donald was talking about this the other day. The run-up to the draft, you finally get to a point where you look at these guys so long, all of a sudden all you see are the faults.
Right.
And it's kind of
And you're nitpicking guys. Yeah, it is. I mean, and that's part of the process because they're investing so much money in you, essentially a pick, the future of the franchise, especially if you're a top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to make sure that they check all their boxes. By going through that process, they nitpick and devalue you on things that really don't at the end of the day matter. Like somebody said earlier, what's the guy is it Josh Rosen?
Yeah.
That's like UCLA. Really smart and has opinionated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, who cares? You want guys to be themselves, and that's probably made who he is. But so why is that a knock? Because he's successful and comes from an affluent family and football may not be his end-all, be-all. It's not for me. Football's not my end-all, be-all. But I go out there,
I go out there
and lay it on
about.
The line. So, but that shouldn't even be in the factor as far as trying to figure out whether or not I'm going to take this guy first overall.
You ever been on a team with guys who are very good, let's just say great players, that aren't necessarily the best teammates? They don't come across as being the most friendly guys or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of guys that are kind of to themselves or me guys.
Now, you might not necessarily hang out with that guy, but he's doing his job on Sundays.
Yeah, as long as he does his job on Sunday, we good.
That'd
I don't
good.
Care. I don't have to be. You don't have to be my friend.
Right.
I mean, we're not in that business to be all buddy-buddy. You don't have guys that are outliers and different. But if he shows up on Sunday, it's going to be a dog and play hard and do his thing. We good. We good. I talk to you on Sundays. You know, fight. The ball's going this way. What's the call? I'll give you everything. I don't have to talk to you during the week. You know, I'm good. So, as long as you're going to ball hard. Because you're not going to be friends with everybody. When you go to a normal job and you have multiple coworkers, you're not cool with everybody in the building.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as everybody's doing their job and keeping their name out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Or
your name out of
their mouth.
Your name out of
their
mouth.
There you go. You good. You good with them. Everybody's doing their part. Right. So you keep it rolling.
It's not going to go away, this over-analysis of the draft, is it?
No.
Not as long as there's three or four networks carrying the draft.
Yeah, I mean, they I know you guys are talking about why none of the other leagues really do this, right?
No, mm-hmm. Right.
And it's because the NFL has marketed it to be an event. Mm-hmm. And when you bring in that type of attention to it, you're going to naturally have so many opinions, and it just creates the hoopla around the whole thing. So you want it's actually good for business, for the NFL to have all this going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's not good, this, and that's why you get so many fans calling. Well, I think XYZ, and just like we ever got, why are we not taking Lamar Jackson, number one overall? Mm-hmm. So that adds to the NFL's brand and just the way they have done a great job of just marketing the product.
Call here from KP in Baltimore. Go ahead, KP. You're on the air.
What's up?
Hi.
What's up?
And, quick, you just reminded me of something. Zoe, when you said the hit on Nada with RG3.
Yeah.
Man, it was a game against the Bengals. I think AJ Green, I don't know
how. He got him too.
You caught him from behind. I thought that man was going to send him to heaven, man.
Oh.
Like, y'all get me.
Yeah, it happens. You got to get down in this game. You got guys flying around.
Yeah. Donald does this real thing when people call in. It's real subtle and short. I don't even know if John pick up on it. It'd be like an older caller. He'd be like, what up, though? People, I'd be in the work truck crying, laughing, man. I wish you the best, Donald.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, man.
Thanks. Thanks, KP. We're going to hit your break. We'll come back with more. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. As we said, say goodbye to Donald Jones today. Ryan Fitzpatrick, his quarterback, called in a couple of hours ago and wished Donald well, of course. Ryan Fitzpatrick, we also asked him if he saw that Terrell Owens said that Fitzpatrick threw the nicest passes he saw in the NFL, the best passes he saw. Here's what Fitz said about that.
Somebody sent me that. Man, I don't know. I appreciate it. That I felt very good about that. I don't know how well his memory serves him, but maybe we could ask Donald the same thing.
I told him, you threw me a nice ball, man. I turned around, and that ball was just floating in the air, sometimes too long.
Well, that's what I said. It's very catchable. I mean, you can ask any DB in the league. I threw an extremely catchable ball.
You're a fool, man.
Classic Ryan Fitzpatrick. Reuben Brown joined us as well. Reuben's going to do a podcast with Donald in New York City in upcoming weeks. And Reuben talked about his podcast plans with Donald Jones.
We're excited. We're excited to bring Buffalo to Buffalo. People that aren't in Buffalo but wish they were in Buffalo, that live outside of Buffalo, we're going to let everybody in Buffalo know about them. They're missing cousins, their long-lost fans that are in Manhattan and across the country. That's why we're going to be doing this show up there.
Friday afternoon, Reuben Brown, he was excited. Hey, Donald, we got this tweet comes in from Dan Dunleavy, who is a play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Sabres. His tweet, wanted to call into the show, but driving in an area of Ontario where there's pretty bad reception. So I say this via Twitter. I wish Donald the best of luck. He's a class act. I've enjoyed listening to him. That's pretty cool from Dan Dunleavy.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. And I'll just say this before we get off air. Thank you, everybody who is listening every day, everybody who's called in, who's tweeted us, the good tweets, the bad tweets. Thank you for all the people that I blocked or muted over the years.
Did I teach you how to mute?
You're the one that first brought it up there, because I don't think I was even paying attention to a mute button.
Yeah, like, watch this. You can mute people. You never have to hear them again.
Yeah, exactly. just thank you for everybody who brought me in here. You, Murph, yeah. Jay, everybody out there, Zoe, for coming in and giving us some excitement on Fridays, even after sometimes losses.
Yeah, no worries.
And I look forward to the next chapter of my life.
Hey, thank you. It's been great working with you. Great privilege to work with you. I knew it would work.
Yeah.
When we got you in here, I knew you were going to be good at this.
It's been fun.
Yeah. You got better, by the way, in the 2 years. Don't you think, Lorenzo? You've been around for a while.
Yeah, he's gotten really good. I enjoy listening to him.
Yeah.
It's like anything. I didn't have any experience. Like,
I know.
No boot camp or any of that.
That's what I told the people who were hiring you.
Yeah.
He's never done that.
That's probably half of it. They pay him dirt cheap. No experience. No leverage.
Something like that. Yeah, definitely.
No, but really, it's been a pleasure to have you here. And I know the crew in the other room loved having you here, all these days. A couple of years worth, and it's been great.
Now we go have some drinks.
Maybe a couple.
All right.
Lorenzo, you should join us.
No, I don't turn up like that.
He got an important week next week. I'm done with all that stuff.
Yeah, I got the kids by myself, too. So.
Ooh, yeah.
Can't Lorenzo, thanks for coming in. Donald, thanks for everything. We'll keep in touch. I know we'll get you on the show. I can't wait until I told Donald when they finally have the draft. I can't wait to know. I've been listening to him for 3 months talking about the draft. I can't wait to get his opinion on what the Bills finally do, right?
Yeah, I got
to
call in.
You'll call in.
Yeah, I'll call
we'll
in.
We'll put you in line, right after Jonathan
Oh, it's Donald? Oh, we're not taking that call.
Donald's in Jersey. No, we're not going to do that. Thanks, Donald. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Donald Jones, last day. We muddle through next week, and then we start on Monday, April 23rd, with the new show, One Bills Live. Steve Tasker will be taking over for Donald Jones. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance today from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you Monday with the final week of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.